If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Carmen!
The guy showed what he's made of, and it's mostly heart.
So the tapeworm stuck its head out of the guy's ass and said, "Where's my damn lemon cookie?"
I think it's hot. It's hot. It's hot. It's tight. It's a hit, man, and I like it. I'm gonna go get it. That's a keeper right there.
Your gayness does not define you. Your Mexicanness is what defines you.
I'm in love. I'm in love with my mattress.
Standing up!
Anyway, this is Super Dave on the Alt Show on 88.9 Radio Free Pasadena. And before... So anyways, coming up, we got some Pennywise and some Beastie Boys. But first, these commercials.
Stay tuned now for the amazing Tammy Heidi.
And now...
32,192, take 15.
Well, I gotta get a tattoo at 12:30 and I don't want to be late.
Our feature presentation.
I don't think I even understood that.
Is that Henny Youngman?
No, it was actually the great Dean Martin, but it's funny to me that a guy recording an album would look at his watch and go, "I gotta get a tattoo at 12:30. I don't want to be late." It just cracks me up, regardless of who it is. It just cracks me up.
Okay,
excellent. 5:31. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday, the 16th of.
Yes.
Did we, by the way, make a recording of Lucy yesterday so that we could play that too? Remember?
I can do that.
Yesterday when it was live?
We have it on tape.
You
yes.
have it. Okay.
All right. Good.
Because I can't repeat that. I mean, it took me a 24 hours of prep.
That was a tour
to get
de force.
To that place.
Your second go-round was pretty awesome.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
It was pretty awesome.
It's like crying on cue. You have to, you know, get to a place where you can do that.
Sure.
So, thank God you recorded it.
It's tough to get to that place.
Let me tell you, I got to dig deep.
I know, so to speak.
Yeah.
So I'm driving in this morning, and I decide I'm going to flip over and listen to Ryan Seacrest.
Mm, interesting choice.
Just because he's destroying us in the ratings. Like, way more people listen to him than us. And that's kind of depressing.
That's disturbing. So you want to see what magic he's spinning?
Yeah. There are other people who it wouldn't disturb me as much if they're beating us. You know, from time to time, Big Boy beats us or whatever. I can see that. Fine.
Sure.
I don't have any problem. But Ryan Seacrest, I mean...
The milk toast of radio.
So bland.
Yeah.
No! That's it! So I tune over, and you know how everybody does the crank phone calls? They have a different name for it, every single person.
Mm-hmm.
He's got somebody that sounds like a little kid.
Right.
I think, right? It's an adult?
It's an adult who sounds like a little kid. It's a bit, I think, that Rick Dees did for years and years and years, and he just kind of continued doing it when he took over the show.
But they don't... Here's this morning's, okay?
I heard him. I heard that, too. When I was on vacation, I flipped over to see what was going on. I heard that little kid, too.
Yeah. So here's the bit today. They're calling a store, and this little kid, supposedly, is going to talk to the person at the store and try and buy a razor because her dad really needs to shave. Tee-hee-hee-hee.
I don't get it.
I didn't either. And I thought, well, there's certainly got to be more to this than that, because we can't be getting beat by that, can we? So they call the store, and the little kid-sounding person says, "My dad needs to shave. Well, how much is the razor?" And then the woman tells him how much, and he goes, "Oh, wow! You have anything less expensive?" And she says, "Well, yeah, we have all different ranges. Are you looking for a throwaway razor? What are you looking for?" And it just goes on for, I don't know, 5-6 minutes, just talking about a razor, and there's no laughs, and at the end, they just say, "Okay, bye."
And then do they go,
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much, yeah. I've never heard didn't even make sense. There's not even, you can't look at it and say, "Wow, they took a shot and missed."
Right.
You can't even say that.
I can see where they were trying to go.
Yes.
They just didn't get there.
Listen, we try to go places a lot and don't get there. That happens. But at least you hopefully can see where we're trying to go.
Right. Wow, that's so
I didn't even
bad.
Understand that. How do you come up with that in a meeting and go, "Yes, your dad needs to shave. Fantastic. That's good."
Well, maybe they win because at the time we're talking to the Jihad B or something. I mean, maybe that's the...
Dude, how does that beat the Jihad B?
It doesn't in my mind. I prefer the Jihad B, but I'm just saying, for some people, maybe that's more their speed, I guess.
I don't get it. I don't understand how that could be more people's speed. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense to me. It's so depressing. I was like, oh, wow. I actually wanted to hear something decent that at least would make me feel better about getting destroyed by them.
Yeah.
It could be that Beyonce's music is more people's speed than Velvet Revolver, too.
Well,
it could be some of that.
That's true. That is true. I can see that. I mean,
that's out of our hands.
I can't see it, but I can understand that people like all different kinds
of music.
Well,
if you listen to the show, you have to assume that's what it is.
I guess, yeah.
And also, I think if you're not a radio listener, I mean, you just happen to be driving and you're going to listen to something, there's a recognizability factor to someone like a Ryan Seacrest, who's on the biggest show in the history of television ever. And if you're driving with your kids, you know, 10, 12 years, and you don't really want to listen to the radio, but you have to, and you just kind of scrolling through the stations, he's someone that, you know, it sticks in your head. You're like, oh, well, that's Ryan Seacrest. I know him because he's in my living room, just like 70 other million living rooms, and then you just kind of leave it there.
But then when you're listening and you hear them calling because your dad needs a razor, don't you go, okay, I'm out.
Well, if you have 9-year-old kids in the car, you don't. Whereas if
you do.
If you're listening to our show, you have 9-year-old kids in the car, and the Jihad B comes on, or Sean Connery.
You got to flip over.
They go, oh, crap.
Right.
Well, I'm not gonna spoil Ralph's showbiz story because I'm sure he'll tell us in a few minutes when he comes in here what Ryan Seacrest's new job is. Something else that he's going to be doing that was announced yesterday.
Oh, my God. How can he do one more thing?
I don't know. I got to tell you,
from the standpoint of, wow, this guy has really gone far without much talent, he's amazing.
Well, the thing,
you know what I mean?
He's like, willing to not have any life at all. That's for sure.
But that's not all. I'm saying the guy is an empty suit, and yet look at all of the high-profile jobs he's gotten.
Yeah.
And he's,
all
I guess,
of them. Yeah.
He's gotten a lot better at American Idol. He was way worse when he tried to ad-lib. And now he just reads cards, and he's whatever. But
American Idol definitely is what, I mean, that totally is what launched him. Because,
as Mike pointed out,
that's why he keeps getting other jobs.
But shouldn't My Dad Needs to Shave, shouldn't that wreck him? I mean, isn't there some point where you go, wow, I know this guy's on TV, but that blew.
They ought to take away his, they ought to at least take away his New Year's Eve show based on that phone call.
I mean, look at Paula, for instance. I mean, I think anybody even associated with American Idol is going to get a certain, you know, kind of like table scraps of fame. I mean, Ryan Seacrest, he's horrible, but he's a million times better on camera than Paula Abdul, and she gets reality shows and other people, personal appearances. And
her jewelry line on QVC. Yeah.
Maybe it is more annoying to me because I don't like American Idol, and so I don't.
But no, I think it's really just dead bad.
But
I don't think you're wrong.
That call, I was so depressed. I was like, this is beating us, this right here.
Maybe we should try that. Maybe we should get someone with a little kid's voice and
try to call a
store and
good,
do the
I like
razor
it. Call a Walgreens or something
it.
And say, hey, well, how much does it cost?
Couldn't hurt.
Oh, you're kidding. Do you have anything less expensive? Ha 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 ha.
Wow.
Wow.
Let's go for it.
That's painful. Don't believe anything they say. Allegedly, it's not true. All right. Thank you. Thursday morning, let's talk about today's Kevin Amin Show, shall we?
All right.
All right.
Jonah Hill, Superbad.
Yes.
He's good. What are you talking about? I like that.
Saying the movie.
Funny.
The movie is called Superbad.
Oh, yeah, he's in Superbad. He's in the film, yeah.
Yeah. He's going to be in the studio today. Very excited about this movie. I have seen a lot of teasers, seen a lot of commercials, have not seen it yet. Ralph saw it, says it's better than we think.
Yeah.
Even.
Loves it.
And that is hard to imagine, but I can't wait for that movie. That looks really funny. We're going to talk about all the items that are recalled from China. I don't know what's going on with that. First they're trying to kill our animals. Now they're trying to kill our kids.
Yeah.
And, boy, are there consequences in China when something like this goes down.
They put
the dog food guy, right? They put him to death.
He was like their head of the FDA.
Put him to death. And, by the way, it takes us, I don't know, 17 years to put somebody to death here. It took him like a month.
I know.
Who was in charge of the dog food? Kill him!
I applaud that, by the way. I think that there's a lot of things we shouldn't emulate that China's doing because clearly they're screwing up with making stuff. But I think that aspect of their business structure is something we should get behind here in America. I think there'd be a lot more accountability. It should be in government and in business. You screw up like this, sorry, so long.
Well,
a little more death penalty.
Yeah, it did cost people lives.
I know.
So,
not people, but animals. Fair. That one.
Well, the head of the FDA, there were also some drugs in China
that's right.
He was getting paid to ignore.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotcha.
I mean, wouldn't it be awesome though if, you know, they do the you know, the post Katrina review, for instance, and they say, I don't know, FEMA, seriously, not a good job, sorry, and then they're just gone, and then just a week later they're out. You know, I mean, it would, that'd be
that
people would pay a lot more attention to their jobs, is what I'm saying. Ryan Seacrest would already be dead, for instance.
Yeah, well, there's no question about that.
They'd get the tape of the shaving call, and he'd be dead.
But the head of FEMA would be right down there in New Orleans, man, handing out bags of food.
You bet. I'll
tell you that.
Yeah, I like
you're right
that
about
idea.
That.
All right, death penalty for everything. I'm in. It's not hard enough to get the death penalty when you kill like 15 people. Also on today's show, we have to talk about being in the King of Mexico's Love Weekend.
It's not a how did it get to be a Love Weekend?
That's this weekend, right?
It's this weekend, yeah.
Yeah, he's arriving. I'm picking him up at the airport tomorrow night.
Dave is flying up to visit Bean, and that is an invitation that A, has not been handed out to anyone else, and nope. B, would not be taken up by anyone else.
Yeah, that's true, too.
So, but they have some fantastic plans. I'll tell you, when Bean's planning a weekend, you are out of your mind crazy.
In my defense, I've asked Dave what he'd like to do, and I'm going to try to accommodate as much as he wants to do and see while he's in Seattle as I can.
And by the way, you asked the question, when did it turn into a gay love weekend? When yesterday you told us, guys, I spent all day cleaning up for King of Mexico.
Yeah, that was weird. That was really weird.
Well, it doesn't hurt to run a vacuum if somebody's coming to visit. You know, you got to...
Right, but that's... I mean, I think that needs to be one of the man laws, is that right. You don't clean up for your buddy.
It's Dave. For God's sakes, you don't vacuum for Dave.
The hell? How much did you need to vacuum?
Exactly.
Probably been a year.
No.
R. Kelly is back as well with Trapped in the Closet. We're going to do Chapter 15 today.
Fantastic.
This is just something that you've got to see, and the link is up at krock.com on the Kevin and Bean page. F-cup cookies are something that's available in Japan. F-cup cookies.
That would be a boob size?
They say... that you'll eat the cookies, there's a certain amount of fat in the cookies, and somehow, they say, it goes right to your boobs.
Boobs.
It would go right to my ass. Let's be honest.
They have like pinpointed most cookies. It to your boobs. You would have F-cups. You would
really?
Be tipping over forward.
Okay.
One cookie, F-cup.
Awesome.
So that's good times. And Joe Rogan be in the studio today as well. Plus, we have tickets for K-Rock's L.A. Invasion. We moved it from the Inland Empire to Home Depot Center September 15th. Tickets for that, by the way, go on sale Saturday at noon, this Saturday at noon. If you'd like to buy those tickets, Smashing Pumpkins, Velvet Revolver, Kid Rock, Foo Fighters, Perry Farrell Satellite Party, Cypress Hill, Hot Hot Heat Against Me. There's 10 bands. It's going to be a fantastic day, and we've got your tickets coming up. And Ralph's Showbiz Beat is...
Isn't it lame, by the way, to not title an album? Isn't that just the height of laziness just to say, I'm not even going to put a name on it. It's just going to be untitled.
Sure.
I mean, as fun as it is to name stuff, I would think that would be one of the things you'd most look forward to in the process. But Corn just put it out there. No title. Call it whatever you want.
I don't think everybody finds it as fun as we do.
Well, they're wrong. Yeah. It's 5:52. It's Thursday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with our first look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
What?
What now?
Is that,
what?
Good? Is that a good groan or a bad one?
Stop it.
What do you think?
Bad.
Sounds bad.
Uh-oh.
Bean mentioned a little bit earlier, I've been furious for about 12 hours.
Why? What'd you find out?
Thanks a lot, Fox TV. Thanks a lot, Fox Network, for gaying up my favorite day of the year.
What happened?
Just gayed it up, didn't you? You just put your stamp of gay all over it.
Favorite day of the year.
Fox Network has announced that Ryan Seacrest will be the host of the pregame show and the halftime show for this year's Super Bowl.
It's top-notch gay.
Oh, my God.
Super Bowl?
Super Bowl in Phoenix in February of 2008. Pre-game show and halftime show hosted by Ryan Seacrest.
Because when you think football, you think Ryan?
Oh, yeah.
They don't have a host for that ever.
Well, if you think of tight ends, you think of Ryan Seacrest.
Oh.
If you think of wide receivers, you think of Ryan Seacrest.
Well, if they never have had a host, have they?
I know. The hosts are the guys who usually were calling the game, whoever that is, with Joe Buck and, you know, whoever.
Right.
That's who the host is. They say, now here's Prince. That's all I have to say.
Oh, wow.
We don't need him just mincing about my Super Bowl.
Maybe
for
they'll
F's
call
sake.
It the Homo Bowl this year or something. It'll change the name.
What the hell? Of everybody you could pick in the world. And this just isn't, you know, I'm tired of Ryan Seacrest getting every job in show business. Whatever. Let him host all the gay programming he wants to. But keep your stinking femmy hands off my Super Bowl.
Yeah. He's going to do what he always does. He's going to talk about how he tints his hair and everybody thinks he's gay, but he's not.
If Ryan Seacrest could name three football teams right now, I'd give him $1 million. Oh, hi.
It is weird. It's not like there aren't other... First of all, Ralph's right. You don't need a host. You already have a program that is hosted by professionals. Okay,
yeah,
you don't need to hire somebody
one.
Else,
right.
First of all. And second of all, it's not like there aren't other people in the world who could do that job. Why do they keep giving him all the jobs? It's not like anybody tunes into something because he's hosting. Give it to Billy Crystal or somebody that would bring, you know, that you'd want to see. You'd look forward to him.
Jamie Foxx.
Yeah. Anyone.
Somebody funny and interesting. But it's Fox.
But you know what?
And he hosts American Idol. And they figure, well, we've already got the Ralph Garmins of the world watching because he's a huge football fan.
Right.
Let's bring in the Psycho Mikes of the world who like men.
Hey. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And the female audience. Maybe Lisa May will watch because Ryan Seacrest is there.
But see, that's why they
Lisa May, but, you know, a woman. She's the only one I know right now in the room.
But that's why they always have the lame, as we consider it, lame halftime and pregame because they want to bring in the people that aren't football fans. But it's gotten to be so much of the broadcast of the day. It's hours and hours and hours.
And what's he going to say in the pregame show, by the way? Those guys in the red uniforms sure look taut.
Very cute, those guys.
Nothing to offer. Nothing. Maybe some little girl call and buy a razor for one of the players.
That's bullshit.
I can't tell you how disgusted I am.
Yeah, it's not good news.
Wow.
That's American Idol's one thing. You know, and I've been accused, and rightly so, of watching that show and getting caught up in that TV program, so be it. And then, but then New Year's Eve, he's got to take that, too.
Yeah.
You got to give him that. And now the Super Bowl.
And he's on all the red carpets. Of, you know, he's already invading your Oscars and your Emmys if you watch any of those shows.
Yeah, but that's E. You can avoid that easily.
Can't avoid the Super Bowl.
Can't avoid the Super Bowl.
No.
Can't avoid New Year's Eve.
Wouldn't want to. Yeah.
He's a total gaylord.
I can tell you how upset I am.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
I'm pissed off. I'd be pissed off all day, so just get ready.
All right. Okay. Ralph's mad.
You know what else I'm pissed off at?
Rightly mad, by the way.
You know what I'm pissed off at?
What?
The thousands of people right now who are gathering outside of Elvis Presley's home in Memphis, Graceland, to have their annual candlelight vigil. Let me explain something about a candlelight vigil, people. That's something you hold when you're expecting some sort of positive outcome. Like when there's a kid missing in the woods or whatever, they get together, they have a candlelight vigil. Vigil meaning you're waiting for something, maybe waiting for the kid to come out of the woods.
Keep hope alive.
Elvis isn't coming back, people. Put your candles out. Go home.
Is this an anniversary of his death
or something?
The 30th
anniversary of his death.
Of his death, okay.
Yeah.
30th anniversary.
30th anniversary.
Gone for 30 years.
Been dead for 30 years. They're going to light the candles and thinking maybe, well, maybe this time Elvis will come walking down the street. Go through the big gates.
Later on today, I want to tell the story. It's been a while since we've told it about something that happened to me at a candlelight vigil in front of Graceland on an Elvis death anniversary. That is one of the funniest things that's ever happened.
I'd like to ask why you were in front of Graceland at a candlelight vigil on Elvis's death date.
It's a long story.
But it's worth it. Kevin will back me up. It's a good story. I think you'll enjoy hearing it later.
It is good.
I won't take your time now.
It involves all of the people holding candles turning and looking at me.
Nice. Here's some interesting relationship news. Travis Barker and Shauna Mochler are together again.
What?
That just be.
Just one
What's
way or the other, people.
What's wrong with them?
Either yes or no. Help us out here.
Source tells Star Magazine that the couple is back together again, and apparently they just love to fight like cats and dogs and then have awesome makeup sex.
Okay.
All right. I've never been a big fan of that. I've heard other people will be proponents of that, by the way. Oh, we love to fight. We get really angry at each other. We scream and yell, but then the makeup sex is great. It's not worth it.
I agree.
The whole screaming and yelling part, not worth the great sex. Just have the great sex.
Yeah.
You don't have to go through the hell in order to get to the heaven.
I'm always happy to see a couple get back together, though, if it's, you know, a healthy situation. When they've got the young kids, you know, it's always ideal for them.
And we love Travis, but one way or the other, people, we can't keep track of this.
Yeah. New relationship news. Rachel Bilson's got a new boyfriend.
Oh.
Hayden Christensen.
Oh, my God.
You remember him?
Is he the kid from Star Wars?
Anakin Skywalker. Yeah. Star Magazine says the couple's been shopping for plants and patio furniture. Well, then it's got to be serious.
Wow.
They are keeping their relationship as low-key as possible, according to the tabloid. However, In Touch magazine reports that Hayden bought Rachel a promise ring.
Uh-oh.
Made her promise never to watch the Star Wars prequels because he blows in them.
Ralph, that story earlier about Ryan in the Super Bowl, that's not true.
Shut up!
It's not true, though.
It is true.
All right.
Makes me angry.
Oh. Sorry.
You know what? I realized I heard you talking this morning about the Ryan Seacrest radio show.
Yeah,
we're like, how can he be kicking our ass in the ratings? What kind of world do we live in?
Yeah.
Where he is popular with people listening who want entertainment. Well, let me read to you the top 10 TV shows in America right now, will you?
Okay.
Don't forget the lyrics, number 10. See, Kevin, these are the people listening to Ryan Seacrest, the same people tuning in for Don't Forget the Lyrics.
I guess.
Criminal Minds, number 9. Hell's Kitchen, number 8. 2.5 Men, number 7. Number 6, Singing Bee. It's dropped 5 slots.
Uh-oh.
Without a Trace was number 5. The Power of 10, a new show with Drew Carey, number 4. CSI reruns is number 3. 60 Minutes back up into the top 10, number 2. America's Got Talent, number 1 show in America.
Pretty sure I don't watch any of those 10.
I don't either. Not one.
That's why you are not in a ratings juggernaut.
Yeah.
Because your sensibilities are not shared with the rest of the world.
It does seem that CBS is the only network that's doing scripted dramas that people watch.
Yes.
The only scripts on that whole list that you just did are all on CBS.
God bless them, too, for that.
It's weird.
By the way. And you can't get enough of the two Corys being reunited on A&E in their new TV show? Well,
I tried to watch that.
Don't care much.
There's good news.
Ow.
Sorry.
Seriously,
crap.
Do you have some sort of nervous illness or something now? Or do you have a stroke? You keep hitting your microphone every day.
She has a tick.
She smashes
I know.
It. She does, you know, so every once in a while, we all graze it. Lisa brings it when she comes.
I think she's got muscular dystrophy or something. I think she's just wailing around. She has no control of her arms anymore.
Are you having some kind of Tourette syndrome or...
I may have to get checked out.
Jerry Lewis is going to have to put you on stage and raise some money for you this year.
2 weeks from now, Lisa, we're going to help find a cure, all right?
Corey Haim and Corey Feldman are being reunited on the big screen.
No.
In a sequel to Lost Boys.
What?
Their 1987 horror movie.
By the way, Lost Boys is a great movie.
Great film.
Doesn't 1987.
Doesn't need a sequel. You don't want to see you want to see Lost Old Has-Been Men.
That was
you don't
20
change
years
the
ago.
Name to that. You know, Kiefer's not coming back as the
that's for sure.
Head vampire.
Still lost. That's what they're going to call it. Wow.
Still all vampire-y.
No longer boys.
Yeah. That's
maybe Ryan will be in it.
I hope so. I hope he gets more work. Super. And lastly, sad news. One of my favorite K-Rock bands is all busted up and angry at each other. The Violent Femmes.
Really?
Are suing each other.
I thought they were doing great lately.
They were. They had a. You remember when they played our show a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
I guess they were special guests at Weenie Rose.
Mm-hmm.
Sounded great. And apparently ever since then they've been touring and doing real well together. Well, apparently bass player Brian Ritchie is suing lead singer Gordon Gano, claiming he was not given proper songwriting credit and a fair share of the royalties from the group's tunes.
That sucks.
Isn't that something you'd hammer out at the time, though? I mean, I don't know how far back he's going with his complaint, but it seems like it doesn't occur to you now. Hey, wait a minute. That song from 20 years ago. I helped write that.
Yeah. Gordon says he was very surprised by the lawsuit since the Femmes just got back from a very successful tour of South Africa. So, yeah, he was caught by surprise, too. But apparently now they're on bad terms, which is
sad.
Too bad. Because I think they're a great fun band. Good
time. Go to that therapist that Metallica went to.
Exactly.
Hammer it out.
Sort of. Maybe Ryan will join the band. Maybe Ryan Seacrest can play bass for the Femmes. Well, God. Be the right band for him, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Steve Carell. How funny is that dude?
Funny as hell.
The best.
It seems like just yesterday he was one of the correspondents on The Daily Show.
Yeah.
And his career has just blown up over the past couple years, hasn't it?
Superstar.
44 years old today. Madonna, speaking of superstars, is 49 years old today, as is Angela Bassett.
Ooh.
Very talented actress. She's 49. Reginald Vell Johnson.
Yeah.
Who did he play, Psycho Mike?
He was the black cop in Die Hard.
Yeah, but
you're
more
right.
Importantly,
more
he
importantly.
Was Mr. Wow. Winslow on Family
Carl
Matters.
Carl Winslow on Family Matters.
Bitch.
That's more important than the first Die Hard. Yeah.
Steve Urkel.
Are you
kidding
me?
Angry at Urkel all the time? It was very funny.
Don't you hit on Laura.
Oh, Steve. Great stuff.
What the hell?
55 years old today. And Julie Newmar, Catwoman from the Batman TV series, turns a very sexy 74 today. Oh, I would wreck her.
No such thing.
I would
thing.
Wreck her right now if she was in this room.
No such thing as
I'd,
a sexy 74.
I'd take off my utility belt and just...
You don't have a utility belt.
That's what I do.
What's that noise exactly?
That's what you do.
What's happening
old,
there?
What you do to an old lady? All can't right. be too
you have
forceful.
To be very careful.
Yeah, you don't want to break a hip. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
But you don't understand. I really want to go to the K-Rock LA Invasion. You have to give me tickets, is how the emails are that are now coming in. But see, they haven't even gone on sale yet. It's not like you've exhausted all possible avenues. The tickets aren't even up yet.
They do go on sale Saturday at noon if you want to buy
right.
them. And we do have more tickets to give away this morning.
Certainly. We are doing our best to take care of you. But if you want to see Smashing Pumpkins, Foo Fighters, Velvet Revolver, Kid Rock, Chris Cornell, Cypress Hill, Perry Farrell, Satellite Party, Hot Hot Heat, Against Me, and Paramore, Saturday at noon at Ticketmaster locations, all the details at krock.com. That's the way you want to go, I think. And definitely, for the money, definitely a show worth getting tickets for.
Two things that are happening dovetail nicely together. One is that Bean doesn't invite any of us over to his house, and the other is that none of us want to go over to his house.
That's very
so
true.
It really works out best for everyone.
How, yeah, when you put it that way, what's the complaint?
How did you get roped into going up to his house, Dave?
I didn't get so much roped in, but
King of Mexico.
Bean invited me to go watch a baseball game between the Mariners and the White Sox.
And for some inexplicable reason, Dave is a fan of the White Sox. Not from Chicago, just... Decided one day.
My American League team, you know, Dodgers first, of course, and then I follow the White Sox in the American League. So, you know, he invited me up, and well, I'm going
well,
up.
We've been talking about it for two or three seasons. We've been talking about it, and Dave's been saying, you know, I'd love to come. He's never been to Seattle. He's heard about Safeco Field with the Field of Mariners playing as being a beautiful ballpark, and he thought it'd be a good opportunity to kind of put those two things together, and we finally worked it out for this this year.
So you're going to New York and stuff. So
you're going to fly up to Seattle, and you're going to stay in a hotel near the field, near the stadium?
Nope, not at all.
You're going to go to Bean's house?
The island. I'm going to the island.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah, that's a bad idea, dude.
Dave, we may never see you again.
Seriously.
No way, dude. It's going
to
be cool.
All right.
Are you going to have to swim the moat and everything?
Now, Bean is very, very antisocial, but has apparently cleaned... since Dave's coming up, which, by the way, is a new man rule.
Seriously.
If you have a heterosexual friend, you don't clean.
Yeah.
That's just the way it goes. So Dave's going to fly up when? Tomorrow?
Tomorrow after the show.
Yeah. All right.
In my defense on the cleaning tip, by the way, you guys have only heard, you know, bits and pieces about and imagined the horror that is my house and my island, okay? This is going to be the first eyewitness, really, who's going to be able to come back to the show and say, guys, I know you think you know what it's all about, but I've seen it. Here's the real deal. So there's a little piece of me that knows that Dave is going to be the eyes and ears of the whole Kevin and Bean family, and I would like the place to present well.
I don't think you realize how little those of us that are here care.
No, I'm sure. Okay. But, you know, there's no downside in picking up a little bit if you got company coming over. That's all.
There's just a gay side. All right. So,
well, you do got to clean up the dead bodies, right, Bean?
Well, yeah.
You're going to be one. Okay. So,
Bean may not be back Monday.
Bean mentioned a day or two ago that he's got a full weekend planned for you, man.
I got a lot of stuff.
Which I trust Bean when it comes to Seattle.
Are you high?
I trust Bean.
Bean doesn't have the taste of anyone else on the show. No one, including you.
But when it comes to Seattle, I trust him.
He's going to take you to like the house of a former president where he used to live, and you're going to go, yep, there it is, and you're going to want to cut your wrists.
I wish any president had ever lived in Washington. That'd be cool. But here's the thing, Kevin. It's just like when people come to visit you in Southern California for the first time. There's a hit list of things they got to see. You may want to take them to Disneyland. Maybe they want to go to the beach. Maybe they want to go to, I don't know, the Hollywood sign. I mean, there's a few things that you kind of know. If somebody's only in town for a couple days, there's the hot spots that you pretty much every tourist wants to see.
Why don't you run through the weekend then? Run through the weekend and let us know what's going to happen starting tomorrow.
Well, tomorrow is really it's kind of a shame that we're going to be peaking early. Friday's actually the biggest night because Friday I'm picking Dave up from the airport and we're coming to the island and Donna's making dinner and we're having a High School Musical 2 viewing party.
What viewing party?
I'm
Dave,
sorry.
Did you know about this?
Say the name of that again, please.
Hang on, viewing Dave. Party. We're going to be watching.
A viewing party for what?
Watching TV. Well, that's not important. The important thing is
important.
The camaraderie, is the food, is the. Well, I mean.
He's watching
High School Musical 2, which, of course, we've all been waiting for a year and a half.
That is so gay. Gay, 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 gay.
Now, Disney Channel, 8 o'clock, yeah.
Now, yesterday, Bean, you mentioned in the meeting after the show that you hoped Dave was not bad-mouthing your plans behind your back.
Well, yeah, I would hope that he's the guest, and yeah, I would hope that would be the case.
Dave, how does Friday night look to you?
Well, when he wrote the email, I thought he was joking.
Right. Of course, because no one his age would like High School Musical 2.
No, it's fine if he wants to watch it, but I could go to the hostel that's next to his house or feed hay or just...
You'd rather feed a cow?
play with Tater Tot or...
So you're not so excited about watching High School Musical 2?
Not so much.
Okay, so Friday night's plans blow for you.
I haven't seen the first one.
It doesn't matter.
So I don't want to get them all mixed up, you
you're
know?
Not sure he has the first one on DVD.
Oh, of course. I do.
And you could probably watch that
We wouldn't have enough time.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so Friday night, you're out, right? Bean's going to look around and go, hey, where'd Dave go? And you're just going to be
Dave
gone.
Was visiting.
Well, I'll be like, I've got to go to the restroom and then just...
And then sneak out.
Because the thing is, Seattle, there's nothing to do on a Friday night in Seattle, for God's sake. Well, that's not a city that's hopping.
We won't see Seattle on Friday night, actually.
Yeah, we'll
we're
be
coming
on the island,
right back
so.
To the island. Yeah, the
island's pretty... kind of gay to me.
Yeah.
Yeah? Uh-huh. Homosexual.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I don't know about that. The High School Musical.
King of Mexico is out on Friday night. That's what I'm telling you.
He's going to love it. He's going to get caught up in the drama of Troy and Gabriella. He's going to love it. It's going to be fun. Plus, you'll get a chance to see your girlfriend, Donna Baxter.
Yeah, that's
going to
be awesome. Yeah.
And she's a great cook, and there'll be food, and, you know, I'll take you down. You can meet the cows. It'll be fun.
Really, really gay.
And then Saturday, which I don't care nearly as much about because High School Musical will be over. I won't have anything to look forward to. But Saturday, that's when we go downtown and we do all this stuff. And, you know, Dave wants to go to the Space Needle and stuff like that and the Pike Place Market, which, by the way, this weekend is celebrating its 100th anniversary, Dave. So it's going to be a zoo down there. You have a lot of stuff going on.
It's
going
to be hot.
It's a very popular visit place. And I think we're going to go on...
It's a visit place, is it?
On the duck tour, I think we're going to go on.
The what?
Which is... It's called the Duck Tour, and Saturday morning, I think I'm going to get us tickets for this this tourist thing that you do that kind of takes you around in an open air bus, and you know, see the it drives into the water, and it also is a boat. It's both. It's a combination boat car, so you get a chance to kind of go out into the Puget Sound a little bit and kind of see the sights that way.
How do you feel about homosexuality?
And then Saturday night, of course, we got tickets for White Sox Mariners at Safeco Field.
Could you be any gayer?
And I know Dave's looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's always good to see the home team lose, so... You know, when you're visiting other...
Ooh. Boy, that was really gay.
So, and then we haven't exactly figured out Sunday yet. Because I think Dave may head out after the ball game downtown Saturday night. I have a feeling he won't be coming back home with me.
No,
I think
of course Dave, not. Yeah, on a Saturday night after a baseball game, you go out.
It's party time.
I try to be home by 10 after a game, but
the room's starting to spin real fast because of gayness.
So Monday morning when Dave comes in, he'll have seen the John Wayne Gacy paintings and the naked O.J. Simpson photos and all the other cool stuff on the walls. So I think he'll have a tour to tell.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Why do you have the naked O.J. Simpson photo?
Because it's awesome. Because you would too if you found it.
Oh, my God.
Pete also has the a painting of a rat that brought the plague to Europe. It killed thousands and thousands of people.
That's a work of art right there.
So, I got some good stuff to show
you. So what I'm saying to you, Bean, is
gonna be
that...
Awesome.
Why do you say that, Dave? You're going to hate it.
Because it's Seattle. How bad can Seattle be?
It isn't Seattle that you're going to hate.
You're going to see.
It's not Seattle that you're going to hate.
I like Bean.
It's crazy,
like
man.
So it's going to be cool.
Oh, Dave. I want you to text me. The very first time you realize this is going to be a bad weekend, which is going to be Friday afternoon sometime.
Don't check your phone at all, dude, because the text won't be coming.
I want you to text me. I'm not having fun.
Dave.
I want those words. I'm not having fun.
I'll even write it up, and I'll show it to you before I leave.
Okay.
And it'll never be
And then
be
you'll
sent.
Send it as soon
it'll
as you're not having fun, which will be Friday when you get picked up from the airport.
Your gayness does not define you. Your Mexicanness is what defines you.
I appreciate Dave's optimism, and I'll do the best I can
He's
to not let him
optimistic
down.
About stupid
he
High
is.
School Musical 2.
It's going to be fine. Other there'll be that, food. There'll be puppies to play with. He'll have plenty to entertain himself.
That
He'll be
was fun. Incredibly gay.
All I got to say, Dave, is you better validate this whole weekend by putting in work on Donna.
That's right. Wear her out.
Good times ahead.
During High School Musical 2.
Yeah.
All right. So I want two texts. One is, I'm not having fun, or I just wore Donna out. Those two.
You guys know that Barry Bonds, the most hated man in baseball, was born in the 909? Did you guys know that?
No.
No, I did not.
Goes a long way toward explaining a lot of things, doesn't it?
Sure.
On the program today, funny man Joe Rogan. He'll be here just after 7. Also, Jonah Hill from the great new movie called Superbad. That'll be in the 8 o'clock hour. First, though, let's go to the email bag. You can write to any of us. All of our email addresses are up at krock.com. Like you can't figure out Kevin at krock.com or Bean at krock.com. But if you want to write to anybody on the show, you can find the address.
My favorite are people who write to Kevin at krock.com and ask me what Bean's email address is.
Right.
They don't even try Bean at krock.com.
And I get emails from people who have a long, involved story, and then they say, hey, forward this to Kevin. So it doesn't really make any sense. Far and away, the most popular email we're getting these days is about a new piece of video that's up at krock.com right now, which is our receptionist, Janelle, who a supermodel receptionist, Janelle, who's just a beautiful, sweet, lovely lady who's doing everything she can to torture us at work by doing completely inappropriate things to her body while we're standing next to her. And we're getting a lot of emails about that, including this one. Guys, I just saw the video of your receptionist at krock.com. By the way, it's in the Kevin and Bean video section if you want to check it out for yourself. I might get fired myself for having an erection at work.
Yeah. David,
well, look, I understand. What can you do, though? It's unavoidable.
It's a hidden camera 3 days in a row, and it picked up some good stuff. All right. Guy rules. We got a lot on. We were talking about guy rules. We got some other suggestions. Guys should not be seen driving Volkswagen Bugs. Mark and Corona. That's pretty much a chick car.
Mm-hmm.
How about a guy never saying it's cute? Another pretty good one.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Could
both of
girls
these,
cute?
Which Bean has done.
You
oh, yeah, girl's
cute.
Cute. Yeah, of course. But not it's cute.
Right.
Hey, Kevin, either my husband is gay or he's extremely oblivious to guy rules. Where can I get this list of guy rules men live by?
Well, you should have thought about that before you married a gay guy. Mm-hmm.
I think we need to call her up and just run some of the rules by her and see what her husband is doing.
Good point.
Because that seems bad.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a guy rule.
Sure. A couple of days ago, we had some great TV guests in conversation, and Mike was listening and writes this email. Hey, Kevin and Bean, I just want to let you know that I now officially hate you guys. I haven't had cable at my house for about a year now, and then you did a great interview with Mike Rowe, who's the host of Dirty Jobs on the Discovery Channel, and I was almost sold on making the call and getting cable back. Then, right after that, you started playing clips from and talking about MTV's The Hills. You know what your show did for me today? It built me up and then made me want to kill myself. Thank you, Kevin Amin, for destroying another dream. Sincerely, dreamless at work, Mike. Yeah, hearing those girls on The Hills will make you not only not want to have cable anymore, it'll make you not want to have a TV anymore. I can understand where Mike's coming from.
We accept your scoring. Dear Kevin and Bean, I'm streaming K-Rock, and there's music playing, and you're talking at the same time. Can you help? How dare you suggest that we don't do a perfect stream? There's never been a problem with our stream.
Not that to our knowledge.
Look,
right?
The fact that you can hear anything is a miracle as far as I'm concerned. We were the last radio station in America to get a website and the last to start streaming.
There was
so
that,
what are you going to do? Dear Kevin and Bean and Lisa May, of course, ding, I love the show. I listen every day. Guess what's just around the corner? Guess what's coming up less than 100 days from right now? Here's a hint. Gobble, gobble. Sincerely, Mike from Orange County.
Don't even get started.
Is that countdown?
No.
Less than 100 days till calling the Butterball Turkey Hotline, ladies and gentlemen.
Not going to happen.
I can't wait.
Hey, Kevin, my name is Millie, and as I was watching R. Kelly's Trapped in the Closet episodes, I got to say it's the best thing I've seen since Flavor of Love. They have a midget stripper. That's the best. And he's also Bridget's baby daddy. Can't wait to hear Chapter 15 today. You guys are the best. Keep up the good work, Millie.
Yeah, looking forward to that. We'll have highlights of Trapped in the Closet 15 in the 8 o'clock hour here this morning. And finally, hey guys, I just finished watching the video at krock.com of the Booty Cruise 3 and noticed that Dave, the King of Mexico, looks just like Carlos Mencia. You guys should have Joe Rogan yell at him and then put it up on the interweb. Thanks, Stephen. So maybe when Joe is here later on today, we just get him to start screaming at Dave for no reason.
I like it. That's good. We were talking about that preacher with no arms and no legs.
Yes.
He just has a little flipper. He stands on top of the table and preaches. And then when he wants to turn the pages of the Bible, he has to reach up with his little leg flipper.
Yeah.
And we got a CD in the mail with a song. It's called Thalidomide Casualty.
Right.
And then
that's
in parentheses.
The drug that caused a lot of those deformities, the babies.
In parentheses, it's flipper for an arm.
Aww.
And the guy sent us a song that I think is, well, it's beautiful.
One, two, three.
This is him talking about not having arms or legs. What a great thing it is for him.
And he's a flipper boy, right? He's
about
himself.
Okay. Got a flipper, yeah. He's the Armenian comedian of no arms and no legs.
Got to be a pretty small category of musicians with that.
haters. They gave my mom a pill. Medicine should help you. It made me very ill. Can't justify this penance, no matter what the sin. Before I even use them, mutated all my limbs. I got a flipper for an arm and a flipper for a leg. Should have been a dolphin and I wouldn't have to beg. Flipper for an arm and a flipper for a leg. Should have been a dolphin and I would have had it made.
Okay, so the lyrics are, I got a flipper for an arm and a flipper for a leg. Should have been a dolphin, then I wouldn't have to beg.
Oh, God.
Oh, dear God.
Good time.
Flipper for an arm and flipper for a leg. Should have been a dolphin, then I would have had it made. He wants to be a dolphin.
Well, yeah, there's that.
Just saying, at times, these type of bits don't go well. That's my point. I mean, yeah, every once in a while, something falls through.
Look, I'm with you. I don't mind rolling the dice and calling internationally and asking questions of the unsuspecting person who answers the phone. I don't mind. But there are others in and out of the radio station who suggest the days of Kevin and Bean calling international should be done. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, those people are poorly mistaken.
Lisa, what
no,
kind of...
Those
kind of
people have heard you do this. In which case, nobody ever understands you. Most of the time, we can't even get the phone call to go through because
I don't even
Kevin's
know what you're
dialing,
talking about.
So right there, we're done.
How dare you?
And we made Dave running the other room answer the phone.
Thank you for reminding me. We forgot to set Dave up in case we can't get a hold of anybody. What happens is we see a story, and we'll tell you about a great one here in a moment, and we say, wow, I'd like to find out more. Let's call that country and see what they know about it. And then it takes Kevin like 40 times to dial the right number.
Right.
Eventually we get through. The person who answers does not speak English.
Right.
We don't speak their language. And we have about 45 seconds of awkward conversation before we hang our heads in shame and go to the commercial.
You guys don't have any vision.
Or they put us on hold, and then we get transferred to somebody else, and nobody ever knows anything.
Would you
about
two mind if we moved
about
on here?
Hey, you know what, Lisa? That's a great point. In the history of doing this show, have one time we called the country where the article came from and had them know about it?
No.
you guys want to do a quick dress rehearsal, real quick? I'll be the country.
Okay,
let's see how it goes.
Ring. Hey, hello. It's Kevin and Bean from K-Rock. Do you speak English?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, speaking.
Have you heard about F-Cup cookies, the cookies that you sell in Japan that make your breasts bigger? F-Cup
I'm
cookies.
Sorry,
F-Cup. That's a big boob
you like
size.
Cookie? You like cookie? Room service number 309, extension 309. My God, my God.
All right, let's try. Come on over here. Let's try. Let's dial this.
Then put him on hold.
Here's the article. Ladies, are you self-conscious about your breasts? Do you think they need to be bigger to help you get attention from the guys? Well, you could have expensive and gross breast implant surgery, or you should just grab some F-Cup cookies from Japan. These sure-to-be-effective cookies apparently make your breasts bigger when you eat just two a day. While most cookies will just make your ass bigger. All right. So there you go. They actually show pictures of the box of a woman with a very nice cleavage, and she's holding some F-Cup cookies.
She wouldn't have that cleavage.
Clearly got that, from the cookies.
Renaissance Sapporo Hotel でございます。
Hello, is this the Renaissance Sapporo Hotel?
Yes, that's right.
Excellent. And you speak English?
A little bit.
Fantastic. We're calling from America. We read in the news that you guys in Japan have figured out a cookie that you can sell. It's called the F-Cup cookie, and what it's supposed to do is make a girl's boobs bigger just by eating it. Have you heard of that?
Sorry. Please speak slowly.
Slowly, okay. Cookies. You sell cookies in Japan.
Cookie?
Yeah, cookies.
Cookies,
and when
food,
yes.
Like a biscuit,
that's right. That's
kind
right.
Of.
Cookies like a food, yes.
Yep.
You eat the cookie, and it makes a girl's boobs bigger.
Boobs.
Her breasts. Her cans. Her rack. Bean, you want to help me out here?
You know the wonderful fleshy parts on the front of a woman? It makes those larger if she eats the F-Cup cookies.
Sorry, I hear your voice with a big noise.
A big noise.
Yeah. So please. Say again, please.
Okay.
Say again, please.
Have you heard of a product that you are selling in Japan called F-Cup cookies?
F-Cup cookie.
Not S.
I think it's going great, by the way. I don't know about you guys. I think it couldn't be any smoother.
He's trying.
F-Cup is it's a size of a boob. Size of boobs on women.
It's a bra size. An F-Cup is a large bra size for a woman with huge knockers.
Are you a fan of breasts, sir?
Mm, last
Fan of breasts. And boobs.
And breasts.
What are you doing?
I don't know. I'm concerned to ask, Bill, based on this conversation.
Hand check.
How about that Ichiro?
Ooh, good. Start with something we have in common.
That's what I figured. Yeah, I figured that. Now he likes us, right? Okay, last attempt here, sir. It's a cookie that makes a woman's breasts grow. Have you heard of it?
Breasts?
Yes, breasts. Yes, breasts.
A breast.
Yes.
I see it. Yep.
Yes?
Yep.
Okay, so you know of the cookie that makes breasts bigger? What are you doing?
He's thinking, I guess.
Do you know of that cookie, sir? Because we'd like you to buy some and mail them to us.
Yes, attention, Lisa May.
I would like my chest to be bigger. And you have cookies that make my chest bigger. You get it?
Nicely
done. You're getting through.
We need to have Lisa talk from now on.
Do you have the cookies?
Yeah. In the hotel?
Yeah, well, maybe
or
in the hotel.
Or in the hotel or in a store by the hotel.
Yes. Yes. Is that a yes? Is that a yes, sir?
Very funny questions.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yes,
it's a lot of questions. Yes. It's really only just one question that we've asked 700 times.
Is there a place you can buy the F cup cookies?
All right, listen. We're going to call you back in an hour. Do some research.
Sorry, today is already the shop. It's already closed.
Okay, so it's...
I'm not sure.
Okay, so it's late at night in Japan and the store is already closed.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. Hey, we're making some progress, though, for the first time ever. Can you call a friend or anybody that's working there at the hotel and ask them if they know anything about the F cup cookie? And then we'll call you back.
Uh-huh. Okay.
What is your name, sir?
Okuda.
Okuda.
Okuda. That's right.
Okay, Okuda.
All right. Very good, Okuda. Thank you for speaking with us. We'll talk to you later.
Sorry for inconvenience.
No, do some
not at all.
You but did great.
Do some research and see what you can find out about F cup cookies, okay?
F cup cookies.
Yes, sir.
Okay, yep. Well done.
Okuda. There we go. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Excellent job right there. So for the doubters and for the haters, suck on that. Not that we, accomplished anything, but you know what I'm saying.
Suck on that! Fuck yeah! This morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, we have Jonah Hill, who is in the new movie Superbad, which opens tomorrow. Cannot wait.
So good.
Plus, we have Joe Rogan coming up just after the top of the hour.
So good.
First, though, Ralph is here on a Thursday morning with the Showbiz Beat. Ralph, what's going on? You got any good news for us today?
No, okay. I'm just pissed off all day.
You're still angry about the whole Super Bowl thing.
Still found out from Daily Variety that the Fox Network has announced that they've tapped Ryan Seacrest to host the pregame show and halftime show for the Super Bowl in February.
Bogus! Yeah, that's not needed. He doesn't need to enter the realm of sports.
No, he does not. Certainly not my beloved football. Let him host baseball if he wants. That'd be a good sport for him. Bunch of pansy guys skipping around in knickers wearing caps. That'd be perfect for Ryan. But not with helmets and pads on the gridiron.
What happens to the day you've been waiting your whole life for if the Philadelphia Eagles make it to the Super Bowl this year, Ralph, and your day is tainted by Ryan Seacrest being on the TV?
Well, here's my plan, fellas. And we've got, February, so we've got, 8 months, 10 months to hatch this plan?
Okay. How do we do it?
We have to start a campaign, and we have to keep it alive until February, and we have to be very vocal about it. We have to tell everyone we know to get the NFL Network, and you watch the NFL Network's pregame show, and then at halftime, you flip over to NFL Network again and watch their halftime show, and then you go back to the game on Fox.
Interesting. So they have both of those, huh?
They have both of those. They will have a pregame and halftime show dealing with football and talking about the game, so we can ignore all the puffery of Fox and their homo host.
I think he's gay.
Yeah.
That's what we have to do. We have to somehow boycott the pregame and the halftime show. We have to drive viewers away from Fox to other programming during those two segments. Let's see how Fox likes that!
Rupert Murdoch, bitch!
I'm pretty sure he's not listening.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Because it's unacceptable. It's completely unacceptable. Usually I'll just lay down and let the world just walk all over me.
Yeah.
I'll bitch and moan about something, but I just won't do anything about it. This is unacceptable. This has to be stopped. I don't know what's going to take me strapping myself with gelignite or dynamite and being willing just to be a human bomb in the Fox lobby. I don't know what's going to take.
Probably but, shouldn't do that.
But something's going down. That's all I got to say.
All right.
Is Ryan going to have the judges eliminate one football player at halftime?
See what you did?
He's a total gaylord.
Allegedly.
Yeah, it's bad news. It's really bad news.
Bean, you're going to have to start doing something with Ryan Seacrest's AllegedlyGay.com.
Yeah, maybe time. Maybe time to fire that puppy up.
Let's fire it up. Do you fire up a website?
I think you do.
It's got a website a puppy.
Mine runs on coal.
I see. Throw some more logs on the website.
This is one of the hundreds the Bean owns and does nothing with.
Here's my guy, though. You want some good news? Here's some good news.
Please.
I don't know if you guys are familiar with Jonathan Lee Riches.
No.
He's the greatest man in the world. He is a longtime guest, shall we say, of the Virginia penal system.
Uh-huh.
He's an inmate.
Okay.
But he has become famous for his endless, legendary lawsuits that he files from prison.
About food and all that kind of stuff?
No, no, no. It's much better than that. He's a nut. He's a nut loaf.
He sues. I mean, that's all he does all day long, right? He sues the president and everybody, right? What? I'm not stealing anything. I'm just saying this guy sues everybody he can think of. Anyone he sees on the TV files a lawsuit, right?
I think that's what Ralph wants to say.
His latest lawsuit is against Michael Vick.
Really?
South Carolina prison inmate is suing Michael Vick for $63 quintillion.
Well, he'll certainly get that.
63 billion is what it comes down to, basically.
What did Vic do to him, or so he says?
It is a handwritten lawsuit that he filed, and he claims that Michael Vick stole his pit bulls and sold them on eBay to use the proceeds to purchase missiles from the Iran government. His complaint, he says Michael Vick has to stop physically hurting his feelings and dashing his hopes. That's why he's suing. This guy is the greatest.
So he thinks Michael Vick is obtaining missiles from Iran.
With proceeds from the pit bulls that he stole from Jonathan Lee Riches on eBay.
I love this guy.
Here are some more of the Riches suits, okay?
All right.
Just 1 week before he filed the suit against Michael Vick, he filed a suit against the Jewish Mossad, the government of Israel.
Sure.
The CIA and Larry King.
For what?
People have read the court document says it's not clear why.
Well, Larry King, he's probably suing just for being bad.
His most infamous lawsuit was a 57-page list of defendants in one lawsuit that included President Bush.
Yes.
Pope Benedict. Actor Tony Danza.
Sure.
Fruit of the Loom. NASCAR. The Ming Dynasty. Skittles Candy. The 2005 Philadelphia Eagles. The Doobie Brothers. The Congolese Army. The Magna Carta. WKRP in Cincinnati, the King's Dominion Amusement Park in Virginia, Plato, the Greek philosopher, and the Liberty Bell. He claimed that they collectively owed him money.
All of them together.
All of those defendants.
Not separate lawsuits.
No, it was one lawsuit.
How does the Liberty Bell ever owe you money?
I don't know, but I love Jonathan Lee Riches.
As do I.
And I want to be his wife.
Can we get him on the phone?
I don't know. I will put our voluminous staff of producers on it and see what they come up with. But apparently,
that's awesome.
It's the greatest story I've ever read.
I would like to see him get out of jail and serve as a justice on the U.S. Supreme Court.
I would, too. You have to stop physically hurting my feelings and dashing my hopes. That's what he wants $63 quintillion for.
Well, that's a reasonable sum to ask for a man he's never met.
That's a lot of pain and suffering.
That's a slam dunk, if you ask me.
Today's celebrity birthday is Steve Carell. Funny, funny mofo. He is 44 years old today. Angela Bassett. Oh. Black don't crack, man.
Yep. Yeah,
still looking good at 49 years old today. Madonna, not faring quite as well at 49. Unless you like teenage boys. She looks pretty good. Reginald Vell Johnson, who Kevin correctly nailed as the cop from Die Hard. But also he played Mr. Winslow on Family Matters, that longtime, long-running TV series. He's 55 years old today. And Julie Newmar played Catwoman on Batman. Hotter today than she was in 1966 when the show was on the air. That's how.
She your favorite
she
Catwoman?
That's
role?
Just not possible.
Oh, by far.
Not even possible.
Yeah. By far. She's like 6'2", all legs. Man, I'd wreck her right now.
She's in her 70s.
Yeah, well, 74-year-olds need love too, man. I'm just the guy to give it to them.
All right.
That'd be the best thing in my collection ever. The Catwoman condom, I'd call it. Just tack it to the wall. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Top. This is Joe Rogan.
This is the f***ing Fear Factor guy.
I thought that thing was going to be canceled immediately.
4 years later, I'm standing in front of a chick with a mouthful of animal going, "You can do it! You hang in there!" Your son has got a glazed look in his eyes, and his boner's poking out of his choo-choo train PJs, and he's trying to your cat. Don't you think you might want to have a sit-down with that little fella?
Joe Rogan!
Look, I love Joe Rogan, don't get me wrong. He's one of my favorite guests on the Kevin and Bean Show, but he's gone bye-bye. He is just, he's lost it. Every time he comes in, he's crazier than the last time he was in.
You came in talking about
what's
super
crazy?
Lions.
Well, in my defense, they were watching a clip on the internet of, what was it?
Natalie Kruger. It's the water buffaloes and the lions and the crocodile fighting over a baby water buffalo. Then the water buffaloes come back in number and just take them out. And
it's pretty fascinating.
It's cool.
And I was saying that there's this amazing documentary about these lions in Africa that have been stranded on this island. There's a small island in Africa, and it became an island 15 years ago when the river shifted. Mm-hmm. And these lions have started swimming, and they've all they do is hunt water buffalo now. So they've gotten enormous. So there's one pride. There's a few different prides on this island, but there's one pride that have actually morphed. And they're like these super lions. And the females are as large as normal male lions. They're enormous. They look like roided out lions. It's crazy.
Wow.
And all they do is jack water buffaloes all day. And water buffaloes are huge.
Yes,
they're
they
huge, incredibly powerful, dangerous prey. So these lions get effed up all the time. So it's not an easy proposition, and it's a giant battle. Like, they'll get like 8 of them, and they'll jump on this one water buffalo and try to take it down, and then the herd of water buffalo come after them.
Oh my,
and then they
God.
Just keep going back. They're relentless because that's their only food supply. All there is water buffalo and hyenas, because lions like to kill stuff like gazelles that you could kill. It's not going to really hurt you.
Easy
takedown.
Just
get them. Yeah, water buffaloes, that's a battle, dude. You know, that's a giant roided out dude at a bar, and you know, and you and your buddies are trying to drag him down by his ankles. He's biting and scratching you, and his buddies keep jumping in too. That's what really
they
gets
really
crazy.
Adapted.
And in one of them, it's so indicative of, like, you know, like that animals, even humans, and we're always trying to drive. One person is always going to be a dick and drive, just completely go for himself when the chips are down for the other guy.
Yeah.
So this one water buffalo just keeps getting jacked over and over again, and it's a big water buffalo. And apparently they had picked the alpha in the pride, and they didn't even know it. So when these lions were doing this, the other ones were saving them until one water buffalo comes in and starts humping the downed water buffalo right after the lions attacked it. Yes. He gets behind him. He's like, "Yeah, got you now, bitch. Got you now." This guy's got holes over 90% of his body. He's been the mortal struggle of pulling himself out of the swamp when these big, giant, roided out cats are trying to drag him down. And his buddy just jumps on top of him and starts banging him.
What's this called?
Well, I think it's called Relentless Enemies. If you look, it was a documentary, and it's if you look up super lions, you know, online, I'm sure you can find what the I believe it's Relentless Enemies, but it's an amazing documentary because all these lions have is it's water buffalo, lions, and hyenas, and every now and then the hyenas catch like a wounded lion, like, "What's up, bitch? You're not looking too healthy today." Bang! And they jack them.
It's a rough world.
It's a crazy, crazy world.
Joe
man.
Rogan has crazy eyes right now.
That's what I'm saying. But he's only interested in roided up animals. Last time he was in, he was all about the yoked up mice.
Man, these are monsters.
Right. You were talking about giant mice.
That
last
is
time.
Well, and giant. Chimps too. The chimps right. in the Congo that they found, the huge murderous lion killing chimps.
Hey,
that's fascinating. They've got video of a giant chimp eating a leopard.
Oh my God!
You know how crazy these things are.
How much time do you spend on the internet?
Bro, I'm a comic. Now that I'm really a comic, I don't have to do Fear Factor anymore, dude. I got some time.
All the time.
I go to jujitsu. I hit the bong, and then I just what is online today? What kind of information you got for me, dude? This guy Carl Armand is a wildlife photographer from Switzerland,
yes.
who's been living in the Congo since like 1996, taking photographs of these giant chimps. There's a huge, giant chimp that lives in the Congo that's super aggressive, and it sleeps on the ground.
It's
over 6 feet tall, and they stand three-quarter height. They don't stand like... They thought originally it was a hybrid between a gorilla and a chimp, but now it's even crazier. Now they think it's a subspecies that we don't know about, a gigantic, murderous chimp that the locals call lion killers.
Okay. I call them lion killers. You don't go to these places, Joe.
I'm terrified.
Like you...
I'm not going to the jungle, bro. You are at the bottom of the food chain in the jungle. You get killed by an ant.
I'm telling you, I was.
No, thanks.
I've been trying to go to Africa my whole life. I went this last Christmas, and it is fascinating and scary as hell because the lions are right there.
Yeah.
And they can do whatever they want, man. That's their world right there. It is scary.
Crocodiles are so much scarier than the Loch Ness Monster, and they're real. Like, everybody's always looking for the Loch Ness Monster. Who cares what's out there? It doesn't do anything.
Doesn't hurt anyone,
right? But crocodiles jack people all the time, and they can hide underwater in murky, muddy water like a foot thick, like a foot deep. They can hide there for 3 hours. And not move.
I think you need to be the new crocodile hunter.
It's a great idea, Kevin.
A giant monster comes jumping out of the water. It's 28 feet long and it kills you.
You need to host a show on Discovery something like that.
I won't go. I'm not going.
Just
get me in one of those Iron Man suits. Did you catch that Iron Man trailer on the internet?
No,
I've seen the stills from it. I haven't seen the trailer.
It's going to be badass. Oh, my God. That movie, that brings me right back to like when I was 18 collecting comic books, man. I'm like, I want to see that movie. They got it nailed. That Jon Favreau is a bad dude.
This is Joe Rogan in the studio, but let me get out the information here, Joe.
I'd go in an Iron Man outfit if you would take me to Africa, but I have to be in an Iron Man outfit.
Dude.
Yeah, that sounds like, a punk-ass move.
Listen, Joe is going to be at the Ice House in Pasadena Friday and Saturday this weekend, tomorrow night and Saturday night. You can get tickets, icehousecomedy.com. He also, of course, is going to be at UFC 74, which is going to be the following weekend out there in Las Vegas. What's this video that that you showed Alex or sent to Alex about the faked moon landing? Is that another crazy theory you've got?
No, it's not really a theory I've got. I really don't believe that human beings ever landed on the moon. And I know
you say that to be funny because
insane.
You're a comic.
Yeah.
And you're...
I'd like to say
it does sound crazy. It does. Of
course
it does.
It is. Okay. It's irrefutable at this point.
How is it irrefutable? Have you ever really looked into it?
Yes, I've looked into it a lot because there have been
some facts
crackpots who've been barking up this tree for 40 years.
I thought it was ridiculous. I thought it was ridiculous until I started looking into it. Now, the more you look into it, the weirder it gets. And here's a big one. First of all, there's only been 7 times when people have gone to the moon. The last time was 1972. From 1969 to 1972, they made 7 missions, 6 successful. Apollo 13 is one of them, didn't make it. The Apollo missions are the only times human beings have ever been more than 400 miles off the Earth's surface.
Okay.
Do you know that? Every single mission besides that, space shuttle missions, space station missions, all that stuff is within what's called the Van Allen radiation belt. So it starts at 1,000 miles out. And depending on who you ask, if you ask James Van Allen, the guy that discovered it, he said it's 67,000 miles. And I think NASA claims it's 24,000 miles. Either way, it's a gigantic band of intense radiation that circles the Earth. And you'd have to get through that. And not only do you have to get through that, once you get out there, if you get caught in a solar flare, any solar activity, they're dead, for sure, 100%, on television.
Well, we're not saying it's that dangerous, we're just saying it was done.
Hold on. They took that trip during the apex of a 20-year solar cycle. That was insanity. The fact that they went back and forth. Now, if you look at any of the photographic evidence, they didn't know there was going to be VCRs back then. They didn't know there was going to be the internet. They didn't know people were going to be able to review it. If you look at any of that footage, it looks fake. It looks really fake.
Okay,
there's
so
videos
your proof
of guys
is that it
on
looks
wires.
Fake.
It's not just that. There's video. There's videos of guys on wires. It looks like they're on wires. If you watch them fall down, they're dangling. It's like ridiculous.
But
not only that,
in
they got
1/6 gravity though.
No, it's not indicative of 1/6 gravity. It's indicative of a guy getting pulled up by his waist. If you look at it, you can watch
Joe,
it.
Let me ask you this.
I know it sounds crazy.
It is crazy. Joe, I know you have lots of other evidence, but let me just ask you this question to puncture holes in it. Besides the fact that we watched it live on Earth as it happened.
Well, everything you see on television for sure is real.
Well, I believe that, first of all. But second of all, let me ask you this question. How do you get thousands of people?
It's not thousands of people. That's what it is. I know what you're saying. How do you get it to keep it secret? NASA's
very compartmentalized. Up to and including people like Neil Armstrong, who are the most upstanding citizen in the world.
Sure. And you know what?
How do you get somebody like that to buy into this?
You know what Neil Armstrong did when he came back? He went into seclusion. Stopped talking to people. Wouldn't give any public interviews. Neil Armstrong went into a deep depression when he got back from the moon. That's a fact. Not only that, Neil Armstrong, on the 25th anniversary of NASA's moon landing, they had him give a speech at NASA in front of all these honor students, honor high school students. You know what he said? He said, "We have here among us America's best and brightest." And the quote is, "You will achieve many great things if you can peel away one of truth's hidden layers."
This is something this guy said at the 25th anniversary speech of NASA.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying this. I know it sounds crazy. I know it does. But the more you look into it, if you look at the photographic evidence in the moon, there's intersecting shadows that are indicative of more than one light source. There's many of them. It's not just something that could have been a photographic anomaly. It's like over and over again.
Kids,
there's all sorts of problems.
This is what happens when you smoke too much pot and spend a lot of time on the internet.
You know, you're joking about it, but you're not. You don't have any art. You don't have any counters to what I'm saying.
You don't have anything except for, I think it looks fake. That's all you told us.
It's not that.
So out of all the times you've been to the moon, it didn't look like the way you remembered it, right? That's what you're saying? This light doesn't look right?
I'm telling you that there's a lot of funky stuff in the Apollo record.
Joe Rogan's gone bye-bye.
See, this Joe Rogan's gone bye-bye is the real problem with this argument. That's the real problem with anybody talking about this. You want to ridicule what I'm saying instead of debating it.
There's no debate. So much evidence,
though. There's not that much evidence. That's why it gets really crazy. You tell me what the evidence is.
There's no evidence on your side except for it doesn't look right.
It's not just that it doesn't look right. It's that there's never been a single technological achievement from 1969. It's not cheaper, easier, or faster to reproduce today, except the Apollo moon landings. You know,
because
China wants to go back
going.
To the moon. Dude, they don't even have the telemetry data. They lost 14,000 reels of the binary code. What the telemetry data is, that's the binary information the command module sends back to the Earth so they can give the exact destination the entire time. That's proof. That's solid binary proof.
I hear
they don't have it. They
Peanuts
lost 14,000 reels.
I'm going to tell you that if we wanted to go to the moon, we could.
Listen, man.
If we wanted to go to the moon today, we could.
We have never done even a flyby since 1972. It's a fascinating subject, man. And you guys are making me...
September 11th.
You're
what
making
happened?
It seem that I'm crazy.
September 11th.
I have no idea, man.
Jews? President Bush?
Dude,
what?
You know what?
What
happened
on September 11th?
You're ridiculing this when it's a real subject.
What happened
to
Building 7?
Okay.
What happened to Building 7? It looked to me like it was imploded.
Boom! Right there. I knew
Didn't it. I don't know
Joe,
what happened.
Let me ask you this question. Why is the government putting crack in the fried chicken? What's going on with that? Why are we trying to bring down the black man with the crack in the fried chicken?
That's the CIA.
All right, we need to take a break.
Listen,
Joe
man,
Rogan
seriously,
is here.
You guys are getting upset
He's
at this.
All kinds of nonsense.
You're saying it's nonsense, but you're being close-minded. You've never looked into it, and neither did I. And then the more I look into it, the more it looks weird.
Dude, I read
nonsense.
Last summer, I read the book, the definitive biography of Neil Armstrong called First Man. I don't know if you've seen it or not. It couldn't be more detailed about the training and the preparation and the planning and the detail, the minute-by-minute details of that trip to the moon and back. It couldn't be more detailed.
So
everybody involved in that is lying?
One guy with a ghostwriter who writes a story about his trip to the moon makes it real?
But you're saying he was depressed when he got back.
The guy doesn't even give public address. He won't give interviews.
He's
intensely private.
Write a book?
He's very shy and very private.
Write a book.
How do you know what he needs to do? I don't know where this guy makes money. I don't know what he does.
If he was ashamed about it, though, why would he ever write a book?
I have no idea. But writing a book doesn't prove anything.
We have
and
a lot
know
of
what
I'm
saying.
Does being depressed when you
get back. It doesn't. But it's a weird thing that a guy doesn't give interviews.
Hey, everybody. Hold on.
Yes, Kevin.
We got a lot of calls, and we need to take a break.
A lot of calls who agree with Joe, too, by the way.
Yeah, listen, man,
there's
way
too much pot being smoked.
You saying that, and I know it's funny. I know you're being goofy and silly.
No,
Joe's
we're not.
Gone
you're
crazy.
Crazy.
It's
we're
not
being
crazy.
Funny.
You don't. You're getting angry, which is a really dumb way to address any serious issue. This
so
is stupid.
It doesn't look right.
It's
listen, that's even a dumber way of doing it.
I am showing you video evidence that looks very funky.
You're not showing us anything.
If you look at it on YouTube, this screaming is more dumb. It's more dumb than anything.
No, it isn't.
Theory on the Loch Ness Monster or Bigfoot.
You're
this
saying,
is dumb.
You're saying
because you don't
looks,
want to talk about
you're
it.
You're saying it looks funky is dumber than me yelling.
It's not just looks funky. I'm talking to you about facts. We about gotta, the fact
no,
that
not.
No human being has ever been done a drive-by since
weird.
1972. No one's ever been through the Van Allen radiation belts except the Apollo astronauts.
This is where a
screaming
smart,
and yelling.
This is where a little smart can get you in trouble.
Yeah,
you feel like you know.
You.
I don't think I know too much. You do.
I'm telling you, I don't know that people went to the moon,
Joe.
But I don't believe they did.
All right.
I love Joe Rogan.
I don't
Rogan.
Have
That's
any proof
doing.
One way or
right.
another. But what I'm saying
right,
to you
to
is that it's something that people should consider.
Who killed JFK?
Who do you think killed JFK? Do you think that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone? And then a bullet from behind makes your head go back into the left? Is that what you think?
It was a pretty good shot, you got to admit.
It's an excellent shot if that's what he did.
All right, we need to take a break.
Did Neil Armstrong kill Kennedy?
That one fell flat.
Joe Rogan is in town this weekend, Friday and Saturday night at the Ice House in Pasadena. He is a tremendous live comic. IceHouseComedy.com or call 626-577-1894. Are you going to be doing your hilarious moon landing?
Astronauts get in free.
Are you going to be
free
doing that?
For all astronauts, dude.
All right, let's take a few calls.
Yeah, we touched on briefly with Joe in the last segment.
Well, what I found was hilarious is that Kevin gets angry. Instead of talking about it, instead of like saying, well, that doesn't make sense because of this, or this doesn't make sense because of that. You just have it in your mind that it absolutely happened without I've ever looked into it at all.
Okay, let me just defend myself then.
Sure, please do.
In the O.J. Simpson trial.
We're not talking about O.J. Simpson.
Let me finish. What they did was they were able to focus on such tiny minutiae that they ignored the mountain of evidence, and the jurors let him off. Does that mean he didn't kill people?
O.J.
No, of
got off because
not.
He's black, and maybe. The jurors wanted him to get off.
Maybe that's true,
that's
too.
That's what happened.
Maybe that's true, too. But
yeah.
They were
and
given,
no one at home watching
what
that
you're doing
thought
is
that O.J. Simpson was innocent.
Focusing in on the picture doesn't look right.
It's not
is
just
ridiculous.
The picture doesn't look right. I've told you this. The only time human beings have ever been through the Van Allen radiation belts. The last
okay.
time we even did a flyby was 1972.
Okay, that's
there's
proof
never been
of
a
what?
Single technological achievement that's not cheaper, easier, or faster to reproduce than the Apollo moon landings. The fact that Neil Armstrong went into hiding. The fact that Bill Clinton talked about it in his book. He said that when he was a kid growing up, a carpenter was talking to him about the moon landings, and he said he didn't believe that stuff was real. Those people on TV can fake anything. He said, back then, I thought that guy was crazy. But after 8 years in the White House, I was starting to think maybe he was ahead of his time. This is a Bill Clinton quote.
Susan in Studio City, good morning. Help us out here. Joe's a little crazy.
Hi,
help
Susan.
Us out.
Hi, Susan.
I just want to say that I've actually seen the video that Joe's talking about.
There's a lot of video. The video of them on wires?
There's one called Something Funny Happened on the Way to the Moon, and they show scientific evidence of why we actually didn't land on the moon. And wouldn't you think that if somebody actually landed on the moon, they would want to talk about it to people? And when Neil Armstrong was questioned about what the stars looked like, he said he couldn't remember. How could you not remember what the stars looked like? You just went up to the moon.
But you guys,
you know?
They never took a single photograph of any stars in seven missions. You don't think that's crazy? They're at 260,000 miles out with zero atmosphere. The stars would have been magnificent. But the problem is any amateur astronomer would have looked at fake stars. And they'd been, how are you going to duplicate 100 million or 100 billion fake stars? You're
absolutely.
Not going to be able to. You're not going to be able to fake the constellation.
Susan, you're a math teacher, right?
Yes, I'm actually a math teacher.
Excellent.
And so I've read into it and I've looked into it. And, you know, you have to do your own research. You
it sounds crazy, right? People think you're crazy when you talk about it.
I've told the story to some of my students, and I know you're not really supposed to impose your own, you know, beliefs on students. But some of the students that I'm really close to have actually seen it. And some think that I'm crazy, you know, which is normal. But some actually believe in it, doing their own research and finding out the truth.
And Susan, they let you teach in the United States? Thank you for the call,
Bean.
Susan.
Look, here's what live in the United States, sir.
I know. Here's what I'm going to say, by the way, and I agree 100% with Joe that don't just take for granted that something happened. Go ahead and do the research if you want. I don't, say that I've spent hundreds of hours researching this topic, but it is something that I am interested in. I have watched some of the specials on it, and it seems like there are experts, people smarter than I am, who know more about stuff like this than I do, who have investigated all of this evidence and have come back with their conclusion that it was real, that it wasn't fake.
You know what?
What about all those people?
Well, I think, first of all, most people, they shy away from talking about it for the very reason, like, I look like a psycho when I'm talking about it. I know it sounds crazy. I'm looking at Kevin yelling at me, and I know it sounds crazy. But I'm willing to stick my neck out because I've looked at it. It looks weird. There's a lot of stuff going on that doesn't make any sense.
Because you've spent too much time in your underwear with a bong on the internet.
No.
Let's go to Jennifer in La Puente. Jennifer's going to set you straight, Joe.
Oh,
Jennifer,
thank,
good morning.
Thank goodness.
Good morning.
Hi,
Kevin and Dean. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Jennifer.
I have seen the specials and the videos that Joe's talking about. And again, I find it funny that instead of Kevin talking about, instead of being like yelling about it and being willing to talk about it, you know, it's like he's almost afraid that it could possibly be fake, something that he's believed in so wholeheartedly.
Exactly.
Life.
So he's
why
screaming
would I
at
care?
Me.
Why?
You do care.
I don't.
Why
I just
are
think
you
you're
yelling?
A nut.
I'm not a nut, man. I'm making sense.
I'll
I'm
say
talking
it
about.
You're a nut because you think the pictures look weird and they didn't take pictures of the stars.
You keep saying look weird, but we're not
that's
talking
what
about. We're looking at video. We're looking at video of it looks like guys on wires. We don't. Blah, blah, blah. You're being the silly guy.
Jennifer,
you're being silly.
Jennifer, what's the show?
You're that dick at a party.
Let me
you're the dick at a party that gets in an argument with a guy and your wife has to drag you away to the car.
Jennifer, what's the History Channel show that you saw?
I don't remember. It was just like a one-time documentary. My brother and I were sitting there watching it one night. And he
well,
said,
there's
they
been
make
a bunch
a good
of
point.
Them.
Bean, if you
there's
watched-
been a bunch of there was a Fox show, very popular, Did We Fake the Moon Landing show, that was on a few years ago, and they went through all of the tape, and they had people who, you know, who are experts in stuff like this, and their conclusion was that the moon landing was real.
No, it wasn't.
It was. That was their conclusion in that show.
No, that's not what it was. The Fox one was called Conspiracy Theory, Did We Go to the Moon? And it is, first of all, you got that special way wrong. They actually made the implication that Gus Grissom, who was the astronaut in Apollo 1, who died on the launch pad, Gus Grissom hung a lemon on the command module, and it was an open critic of NASA. It was saying, this is never going to work. You guys can't talk to me on the launch pad. How are you going to talk to me from 260,000 miles out? And Gus Grissom died in that very command module, died on the launch pad, burned to death inside that thing. And the implication the Fox special made, people were saying that NASA killed him to shut him up. Not only that, the show was very inflammatory, and it wasn't a flattering portrait of NASA at all. And I don't agree with the things they were saying, because they were jumping to giant conclusions like killing that guy. But they showed a lot of weird evidence in there, like the same video footage of backgrounds used in different sites that are supposedly miles and miles apart from each other in different missions. And what they were trying to show was that there's no photographic evidence of any stars, that the photographic evidence on the moon shows intersecting shadows, which is indicative of more than one light source. It also shows that there's hotspots. You know what? There are answers to some of them that may be applicable if you look at it. The problem is there's so much evidence that we didn't go. If you look at it all together, it's like every single thing has a hole in it. Every single aspect of the mission, from the photographic evidence, the fact that all the telemetry data is missing, to the fact that Wernher von Braun, the guy who was the head of NASA, was a Nazi war criminal, who the Simon Wiesenthal said if he was alive today, they would prosecute that guy for crimes against humanity. That guy used to hang the five slowest rocket workers in front of his factory in Berlin. He's personally responsible for the deaths of thousands of people, and he was running the NASA program in this country.
He's a bad man, but he knew rockets. That's
not
for
only
sure.
That,
he
also
Mr.
knew
Rocket.
Where moon rocks were. He knew where we could get meteorites, which is why they went to Antarctica in 1967. In the middle of the biggest technological race in human history, him and a crew of scientists take a gigantic cargo plane to Antarctica to collect meteorites. Like, what
Let's talk to because they're looking for things that have not been contaminated in other parts of the world. It's the purest
Antarctica.
Stuff you can find. Let's talk to Mike on line one in Calabasas real quick before we have to break, because we're running desperately late. Mike, good morning. You're on with Joe Rogan. Go ahead.
Good morning. You know, I've been listening to everything Joe said, and there are a million websites that refute all of his specific claims, but there's one easy one to deal with all of this, and that is if you get a telescope and you look at the moon. This has been done by scientists.
No, it hasn't.
Photographic evidence of landing sites.
Mike, no, it hasn't. That's not
yes,
true.
It has.
First of all, we don't have a camera that's capable of doing that. You don't know anything about astronomy. You're talking out of your ass. Listen to me. I've looked into it. There's not a single telescope that's capable of such a high detailed small picture of the moon.
Let him talk. And then you can talk. Let him talk.
He's not telling the truth.
Then build your own telescope and please look.
Oh, I'm going to build a telescope. I'm going to build a rocket ship and I'm going to go there. How about that?
All right, let me ask.
You obviously don't trust anybody's evidence.
Well, what are you talking about? Okay, are you a troll, Mike? You must be a troll. This guy's a troll. They don't have telescopes.
I'm not a troll. I got
They're
on
not,
the web.
There's no, tele- talking, there's no telescopes that are capable of such a detailed photograph of the moon. They don't exist. The Hubble and all those that are out in the atmosphere, they don't even. They can't even do it.
Both Kevin and Bean, a link to a space
website. Please do.
Showing evidence of the Apollo 15.
Listen, you don't know what you're talking about. No, that evidence is from a satellite. That evidence is from a satellite they put in orbit around the moon in 1994. And you know what it shows? It shows what they consider to be a crater. The problem with that is that's a photograph from hundreds of miles out, yet they have photographs of the lunar module sitting on the moon's surface from like 5 feet away, and it doesn't show any crater. And that's one of the things that the people who don't believe that we landed on the moon say, where is the blast crater? NASA says, well, you know what? It's 1/6 Earth's gravity. There was no blast crater. You can't have it both ways, dummy. You can't have a blast crater when you're 100 miles away and no blast crater when you're 5 feet away. Mike, you don't know what you're talking about. You're talking about telescopes.
Exactly.
They're talking about satellites. You're talking about a blast crater, and it doesn't exist.
Just because you can overtalk me, Joe, doesn't mean you're right.
Mike, you don't know anything about telescopes, dummy. You don't. You're talking out of your ass. There's
you're
not
the
a telescope that we have here on Earth. The Keck
space,
Observatory
vehicles,
is the largest telescope of the United States. It's on Hilo in Hawaii. And they can't.
Excuse me,
right next to Mauna Loa. And they can't.
Because you have
UFC. UFC. UFC.
What are you talking about, cameras, Mike?
Yeah.
In order to get a picture on the moon, you have to adjust the aperture way down. You can simulate this kind of thing on your own if you take a picture of a starry night.
What are you,
you
talking
adjust
about?
The aperture
talking about
on a camera,
from the moon taking a picture of stars.
Yes, the pictures on the moon, there are no stars. This is one of the things a lot of lunar critics cite, that all the pictures from the moon don't show any stars.
Right, they don't.
That's because you have to crank the aperture way down.
Right,
on the camera.
And dummy, why wouldn't you crank the aperture way down if you're going to make a trip 260,000 miles away with zero atmosphere? The stars would be spectacular. We take pictures of the stars today from Earth. People are constantly staring at the stars. It's constant. The VLT array that they just put up in Chile, the Keck Observatory in Hawaii. There's a million places where people study stars. Why wouldn't you take those photographs? Why wouldn't you do it?
Because the sun would overexpose the pictures.
No, it wouldn't. There's ways to do it. They've already proven there's ways to have taken the photographs. Not only that, the fact that they took these photographs in 250-degree heat.
Yet things that we have actual evidence of that you don't trust.
There's no evidence, dude. What are you talking about? You're the one
picture.
Who's saying that you have a photograph of a telescope taking a... You said, first of all, that it was a telescope. Now you're claiming it's a satellite. Now you're claiming they had to adjust the aperture. That's why they couldn't take the photos. You're not saying anything.
Build a telescope and look at the moon. If you look to the right place at the right time, you can see the landings.
Dude, you can't.
You guys aren't going to come together on this, no matter how long this goes.
We don't know anything about telescopes. We don't have a telescope capable of doing that.
Increasing the amount of people who believe this nonsense.
Dude, you're absolutely incorrect about the ability of a telescope from Earth to take a close,
you know,
high-resolution photograph of the moon.
guys, don't you see this is just what the terrorists want us to do? The war is out there, man, out there. Now pull it together.
This has been a very entertaining conversation today.
We need to take a break.
Joe Rogan is here, and he's very funny. Contrary to this conversation.
Normally. Listen, that guy's totally making that up about the telescope. Go look online. There's no telescopes.
Or he's right. One of the two. We can't tell.
No, there's no telescopes that are that strong to be able to take such a detailed photograph of the moon.
That
would be an incredible telescope.
Let's come back. We'll have a very little amount of time left. But when we come back, we're all going to make nice and hug and be funny and then say goodbye to Joe. All right?
We'll be right back.
Ixnay on the Unme Octe. Okay, that's what we're going to do for this break. Joe Rogan is here, the Ice House in Pasadena, Friday and Saturday. And hey, is this UFC
70? I'm going to get people that are going to be so pissed at me this weekend.
Yes, they are. I love that.
Oh, you love
Tell
it because you love anger. You love anger.
I'm not the one that used the word dummy three times in the last conversation.
That was a beautiful thing.
And hey, guys, I said moon talk.
Okay, I would just like to
compliment. Separate you two.
I would just like to compliment Joe, though. No one uses the word dummy as well.
Thank you very much.
I really have
stings when he does it.
On his live CD, everything.
You want to talk dummy? Then I'm going to give you dummy.
It's That's really fair. Just you and Don Rickles keeping that word alive, by the way.
Really?
UFC 74.
Joey Diaz uses it as well.
Is this a big deal with Randy Couture again?
Oh, yeah. It's a huge deal. First of all, I mean, we were just talking during the break about human growth hormone, and Mike is obsessed with Michael Jackson. He's got a theory that Michael Jackson's on human growth hormone.
Yeah, he's huge knuckles.
It's because he's anti-aging.
Joe's got the moon talk. I've got Michael Jackson does HGH. That's like my whole...
Well, we're talking about anti-aging. I mean, Randy Couture is 43. I think he's almost 44 years old, which is incredible that guy's still competing, not just at a high level, but he's the heavyweight champion of the UFC. I mean, that's staggering. And this is an incredible test for him because he's fighting a huge natural heavyweight. Gabriel Gonzaga is a natural 245 pounds. He's got giant shoulders, giant ham hands. He's a big, scary dude. And he's got vicious knockout power. And he's a Mundial black belt champion. And what that is in Brazil, the Mundial is like, it's like the World Series of Jiu-Jitsu. So this guy is not just a high-level grappler. He's a Mundial champion. I mean, he's top of the food chain Jiu-Jitsu. He's got, you know, he fought this guy Carmelo Marrero. And Marrero is a very tough guy, and he controlled him on the ground like he was a white belt and got him in an armbar. It was like spooky to watch. I was like, whoa. And that's when I changed my tune about that guy. I thought he was a very tough guy before that. I go, that guy's spooky. And then when he destroyed Mirko Krokop, I mean, literally, Mirko Krokop's probably the scariest guy in all of MMA before the Gonzaga fight. He has a vicious highlight reel of knockouts of every single fight that he wins. Almost every one of them, like 90% are head kick knockouts. Crazy head kick knockouts. Puts guys to sleep. Tough guys like Igor Vovchanshin, bang, Alexander Emelianenko, bang, puts him to sleep. And Gonzaga destroyed him. Gonzaga wow. just ate him alive, caught his first kick, smashed him on the ground, stuffed him into McCorder, punched his face in, elbowed him in the head. They stood them back up, and he kicked him unconscious.
Oh,
one shot.
God.
Is he
going to
be
ready?
Dude, it's I don't know. You can never count out Randy. You can never. I mean, I'm just you. I gave up like saying this guy's going to beat that guy a long time ago. Especially in this sport, it's so impossible to predict. But this True. Is a very impossible fight to predict. A very scary one. But I never
Joe,
bet against Randy.
Yeah. How tough is it? I don't think I've ever asked you this before. Most people will watch it on the cable or satellite pay-per-view. But how tough is it to get a ticket to a live UFC event when it's in Las Vegas? If you want to go see it in person at Mandalay Bay, is it tough to get a ticket?
I get people calling me like the day of, yo, dude, what can you do for me? What can I do for you? Get out of here, man. Are you crazy? This place is nuts, man. I can't even get my mom a ticket.
It's a sellout.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes we don't sell out. Like, I don't think we sold out. We've done some places in other cities and stuff, and maybe we didn't sell out. Like, Houston was a giant sellout. That was crazy. But maybe Ireland wasn't a sellout. Belfast,
but
Northern
Vegas,
Ireland.
But Vegas, you're out of luck.
They don't have that much money up there. Yeah. But, yeah, Vegas, there's no way you get a ticket, man. It's crazy. So it's going to be – if you haven't seen it live, you got to see it live. It is the Coliseum.
And yet you can't.
It is insanity. Well, you know what? You might really be able to right now. There might be a few tickets. There's still – I don't know. It's usually when you close in on, like, the week before that everything dries up.
Well, let me give the tip again then. Saturday, August 25th, that's a week from Saturday, if you want to see Randy Couture versus Gabriel Gonzaga, and that's at the Mandalay Bay Events Center. Joe Rogan is going to be appearing at the Ice House in Pasadena. That's Friday night and Saturday night. This weekend, tickets are just $25, icehousecomedy.com or 626-577-1894. Joe, a very interesting visit from you today. Thank you for stopping by.
Fascinating.
Remember what happens
Kevin.
This weekend? Remember
Kevin, what are you saying? What are you trying to say?
I'm saying remember what happens this weekend with the crowd and tell us next time that you come in what kind of response you got.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say something else.
What did you think I was going to say?
Just going to get more wacky. Are you going to get angry again?
No.
Start
Kevin's the wacky one here.
It's time for the Showbiz Beat with Ralph Garman.
I don't know where the time goes, but I know where it comes out of.
You know who gets robbed?
Old Ralph segment, that's what I'm telling you.
Who has to make up for it every time.
At 8:01 as I start the Showbiz Beat.
But you have a new Showbiz story to report, which is that comedian Joe Rogan is crazy.
Yeah.
He's got that going for him.
He's got to get back to some toad licking.
He does not like to be called crazy, I can tell you that.
No, he doesn't.
I love him.
He is passionate. I'll give
him
that.
He earned the right to be called crazy now.
Don't have much time here for the Showbiz Beat, so I will just give you an all Britney Spears edition, okay?
Fantastic.
Because while I was so busy being angry about Ryan Seacrest hosting the Super Bowl, which I still can't get over and probably won't until sometime next March.
You shouldn't be able to.
All kinds of Britney Spears stories are breaking on the internet and on the in the tabloids, and I've been remiss in not bringing you the latest and greatest in Britney Spears news. So I've got three stories in a row that I have to catch you up on because she is put the crazy into overdrive.
Excellent.
Britney Spears. What about her?
First of all, Britney Spears says she doesn't believe the moon landing was real. Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, that's just too much.
That's another crazy person. No, apparently Kevin Federline has slapped yet another Britney Spears assistant with a subpoena and has wants her to testify in the custody hearing regarding his two children and getting primary custody away from his loony ex-wife.
So he's trying to find people
trying
to find people who are close to her and getting them to tell about her.
First-hand witnesses of her insanity so they can put him on the stand and say, my ex-wife's nuts, right? And they have to say, yeah, I guess. If I'm sworn in and everything, I have to tell you that she is. Her former personal assistant, Shannon Funk, was slapped with a subpoena this week, largely because of a story that is going around where the two of them, Britney Spears and Shannon Funk, got together after Britney filmed her video for her comeback single, Get Back, in Los Angeles. Apparently, Britney invited Shannon to join her into the swimming pool at the hotel where they were staying. And a source at the hotel says, even though the pool was closed, many people still saw them together. Their jaws hit the floor as the two of them allegedly enjoyed a lesbian romp in the swimming pool.
That's what I'm talking about.
Britney likes her pool fun, doesn't she? First the
she
kid
sure
that,
does.
That was the extra on that video, and then her assistant.
I think that's the same night.
Yeah. Even though the men they were with were hot, says a person who works at the hotel, Britney made a beeline to cavort with Shannon.
She's a whore, okay?
Britney did get raunchy with the guys, but it was nothing compared to what she did with Shannon.
Yeah. Excellent.
So hopefully this whole thing will go to court and we'll be able to hear the details.
Yeah.
Britney Spears apparently also has some trouble with some videotape that her ex-husband Kevin Federline has acquired and plans to use in his custody battle for the two boys. This is surveillance video.
Yes.
From the 15 surveillance cameras that was in the that were in the Malibu mansion that Britney shared with Kevin.
Yes.
Footage was shot from 2005 and 2006, and amongst other things, shows, reportedly, Britney slapping Kevin after screaming at him about a weekend he spent in Las Vegas. In another incident, Britney hits Kevin with a frying pan.
Dude!
Apparently, Federline was going to use the frying pan to cook something. Britney grabbed it away from him and hit him with it.
I haven't seen that since I Love Lucy.
Britney, you got some splaining to do. Apparently, he grabbed the pan out of her hand and walked away. As he did, she hurled an ashtray at him.
What the hell?
It hit a sliding glass door behind him, shattering it into millions of pieces.
Wow.
Kevin also has voicemail tapes he plans to submit into evidence, admitting that Britney says she was out drunk with friends when she should have been watching the kids. And also Kevin accusing her of letting the boys run around in dirty diapers because she's too lazy to change them.
Mm. Ralph, you're an attorney, so I'm going to ask you this question.
Sure.
Why doesn't Britney just give him 70-30 custody? Why go through all of this and the public embarrassment of all this stuff coming out in court and everything and on the record when she can just... I mean, she clearly doesn't care about the kids. Let him have them a couple more days a week.
Au contraire, mon frère. I beg to differ. I think she thinks she's actually a good mother. I think she's deluded
really?
In the fact of thinking that she's a fine mother. There's no reason those kids should be taken away from her.
It also costs her money to do that.
Yeah, she's she has to pay more.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. And lastly, and perhaps the most disturbing story of the morning regarding Britney Spears. Looks like she's got a new boyfriend.
Oh, great. Uh-oh.
On Thursday, I guess that would be this morning, at 4 a.m., she was spotted leaving a Beverly Hills hotel with none other than Criss Angel.
Oh!
No! That isn't good for you.
TV's mind freak?
No.
God.
No, you're making that up.
Criss Angel is a big douchebag. The douchiest of all.
Yeah, two of them left after a long time together in the hotel. Representatives for each are saying they were just friends and they were talking all night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they do.
Maybe they were
that's
discussing their
does.
Messy divorce battles. They were comparing
oh my God.
Battle scars. Angel, of course, has been hooked up with Cameron Diaz, linked with Lindsay Lohan, and now his latest victim, Britney Spears.
You know what
Spears.
It sounds like when Criss Angel has sex?
Yeah!
I want to helicopter Criss Angel and Britney Spears and put them on that island Joe was talking about with the Super Lions.
Yeah!
Maybe Criss can make her cellulite disappear. Now that would be a trick.
He's not that good.
That would be a mind freak. Or a thigh freak
He's
in
not
her
that
case.
Good. Seriously.
He seems like a tool.
I'm listening to music ever since my father died. I think it'd be wonderful if we got together.
Oh, dear God.
Don't be a sucker. Today's celebrity birthdays, Julie Newmar, who played Catwoman on the original Batman TV series back in the 60s. She's 74 years old today. Angela Bassett, actress, 49 years old today. Madonna. Actress.
Are they random now, these noises? They mean anything?
No, she's a wizened, leather-faced mummy.
She looks like she's made out of gristle now.
49 years old today. And Steve Carell, actor, star of A 40-Year-Old Virgin. The upcoming Get Smart movie, Evan
Very
Almighty.
Fun.
Well, we'll forgive him, Evan Almighty, because he's so good and everything else. He is 44 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
We do have some good news for you today, and that is in the summer of a lot of disappointments at the movie theater. There have been a couple of high points, but a lot of things have been disappointing. Superbad is one that you can't go wrong with, ladies and gentlemen, and we're very excited to welcome Jonah Hill, one of the stars of the film, to the studios, the world-famous Carol. Hey, Jonah, how are you, man?
It's a pleasure to be here.
This film is universally loved at this point, and I guess a lot of people have seen it. I guess you've been doing screenings with it for some time now, right?
Yeah, we did it. Well, the same thing with Knocked Up was that same people who made Knocked Up made this movie, mm-hmm. and we were proud of it, and we saw how high it was testing when they test a movie with a test audience. Mm-hmm. Like, they give scores, and it tested really high. So we were like, let's show it to people as soon as possible and get the word of mouth out there. And it's really helped, I think. I think there's a genuine, hopefully, a genuine excitement to go see
there
it.
There is here. I know that. I can't wait. Ralph saw it. He loved it.
Yeah, I've been talking about it for weeks. It's really as good as the trailers look and as good as the commercials look on television. It is twice as funny than you think it's going to be. And right. also, it's got more heart than you expect from a movie like this. It really is about your friendship with the character that Michael Cera plays and mm-hmm. and how you guys are best buddies and going to head off to college together in separate directions and how that scares the crap out of both of you. And you try to basically have one last great adventure together before that all happens. And it is an enormously heartfelt movie as much as it is hilarious and dirty and filthy,
yeah.
which is great.
Thank you very much, man. That's exactly what we're going for. We call it D-word in heart.
I like
that's what Judd, the producer.
The two different organs you're referring to?
Yeah, yeah. D and H.
Now, Jonah, how old are you? Do you mind my asking?
I'm 23.
23, okay. Does it bother you that it's never going to get better than this? You're going to do movie after movie.
I'm saying
you're going to do movie after movie, and the best it can be is like this, which is fantastic.
The only thing worse is just not being aware of that, and at least I'm aware
now
of
you're
that.
Aware.
This movie
Sorry.
Is so awesome. Well, no, I mean, there's very few movies. Like, I'll come back here next time my movie comes out and lie and say it's as good as this movie. But, like, yeah. for real, like, this movie is great. Like, I would not put, like, and thank God, because for the first time I have to be, like, or I got to be, like, the star of a movie or have my face on a poster right. or something like that. If it sucked, I would just be mortified, and especially having to spend months going out and telling people it's good. But
and then spend the rest
real,
of your life
like
trying to ignore
great
it.
Movie.
You know, you watch trailers. You always watch trailers, and you always compare the movie to the trailer.
And the trailer
99%
sucks.
Of the time.
It doesn't suck. The trailer is great. Like, they did a great job cutting the trailer, but it's such a – it's an R-rated comedy, so it's hard to get the gist of, like – If I would think the movie was different if I saw the trailer, but they did a great job cutting the trailer because I don't even know how they found 4 minutes.
What to use, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But invariably, they put the funniest moments in the trailer when they're trying to sell
right.
a comedy usually, and then you go
right.
there and you wait for those moments because the rest of it's sort of filler. But this
Sucks.
Movie, the stuff that's in the movie is infinitely funnier than what you've seen before.
Oh, that's
right.
so rare. Yeah.
Jonah, let me ask you this.
Thanks,
tell me if I have this wrong, but I heard that Seth Rogen, who I guess wrote or co-wrote this movie, started this when he was very young, like a teenager, right?
Yeah, him and his writing partner, Evan Goldberg, they started writing when they were like 13, 14.
They started writing this movie.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean,
who does that?
It's obviously gone through many incarnations over the past 10 years or so.
Yeah.
And
at 12, it's probably like, you're a big doo-doo head. No.
Right, right. But I think that's why the movie feels
rules.
Super realistic to being in high school is because it's not written by someone trying to capture that. It was
right.
They were writing it when they were in high school. I mean, like, I always wanted to be a comedy writer, and I would write, like, Simpsons episodes from when I was, like, 14 on probably or 13 on. But
did you ever send any of those to the Simpsons people?
I did. Well, I have one now. Like that was like what I wanted to do my whole life. And I think now, hopefully, if it keeps going, I could hopefully either help write an episode or like do a voice on one or something
still
like
your
that.
Goal?
Yeah, if Superbad does well, maybe they'll let me be a voice on one or something like that.
Maybe Super Bart is the spinoff.
Yeah, totally. I'll play Harvey Fierstein.
All right, the movie is Superbad. Look for the R-rated trailers online if you're old enough.
Yeah, rusuperbad.com. Oh, and it's playing tonight at midnight. They're doing midnight showing.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Fantastic. All right, we'll take a quick break and come back with Jonah Hill, one of the stars of Superbad. 106.7 K-Rock. Ow! Sorry. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 28 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Trying to pretend to be professional. We have a guest.
Well, I turned my headphones up because I couldn't hear anything, but that's because the song had already ended. So then, when I started talking, I heard my own ears.
What a shock.
I'm sorry.
Jonah, you've done a lot of radio promoting your film Superbad that opens up tomorrow. Website, rusuperbad.com. Have you done a show as low class and shoddy as this one yet?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
I'm proud.
No, of course. I mean, this is like the coup de grace, man. This is Kevin and Bean. I grew up in L.A. I told you guys. I've been listening for a long time.
Speaking of growing up in L.A., could you do me a personal favor and tell the story that you told on David Letterman for folks who didn't see you on there about your mom and Roscoe's fried chicken and waffles?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I laughed so hard at that story. Those are my favorite stories ever.
I'm, like, beginning to be able to laugh about it now.
Just now?
Like, wow. A couple years. I was, like, 14, and it was my birthday, and my parents are awesome, and they're like, what do you want to do for your birthday? And I was like, oh, I want to go to Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles, which, for you guys I know, is a restaurant that serves chicken and waffles. It's
right.
awesome.
It's one of the best restaurant in the world
yeah,
ever.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. So
local legend.
I wanted to get some food for my friends and family. We were all just going to hang out and eat at our house. And I went, and it was right after Churchill let out, and it just happened to be my mom and I were, like, the only non-African-American people in the restaurant at that time, just by chance. And,
right.
And we're there. And everyone's in, like, you know, I'm, like, wearing shorts and T-shirt, and my mom is also, and everyone's in really nice, like, the fancy clothes because it's church.
Except for the crackers. The crackers aren't dressed.
My mom and I, well, we're Jews. So we kind of don't take anything too seriously. And that was a joke. I don't even know if that's a stereotype or anything. And then, whenever we were hanging out, and all of a sudden, the Reverend Jesse Jackson walks in. And everyone, including myself, was like, oh, man, it's crazy. That's, like, insane. Everyone, it's, like, kind of silent. And the next thing I heard was my mom just be like, oh, my God, it's Reggie Jackson. And, like, I was just like, oh, man. And I was trying to pretend like I wasn't with her, but I obviously...
You're the only other white person there.
And it's my mom. And we looked, you know, you could tell we're related. And I was just like... I should probably get going.
That's awesome.
What did he say? Mortifying.
What did he say?
I mean, he didn't like, he wasn't like, what? He just thought he was like, idiots. Like, you know?
I do not appreciate white people calling me Reggie.
But my mom, like, it wasn't that she didn't know who, she, like, she'll call me, like, my siblings' names and stuff. Like, that's just,
that's just her
issue she has.
Yeah.
But it was pretty unfortunate at the time.
Yeah. You don't really want it in public in front of somebody that's famous, though. That's
totally.
No, that's
well, also
good.
Like confusing, like one of the biggest like religious and political
right.
figures there is with like, and I'm not that Reggie. I mean, with a baseball player,
right?
Is, say,
not the quite
could
level.
Come off as kind of insensitive or racist
sure.
or something. Like, but she just like that. She calls me like my brother's name when she calls me on the phone. Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That's just kind of like her deal.
Did you explain that to the rest of the African Americans in the restaurant?
Did
you go around telling?
Can I have
story?
Everyone's attention, please?
Did.
She didn't mean anything. She just got a thing with names.
Don't hurt us.
This is Jonah Hill in the studio.
I
we're
said,
talking
at least
about.
She didn't say Jermaine.
That's true.
Well, that would have been worse.
It's Tito.
Yeah.
Talking about Superbad opening up tomorrow. You had some theaters where it's showing tonight. If people can't wait, they want to see it at midnight.
Oh, yeah. We're going to do like special midnight screenings tonight at the AMC Block Orange, the Man's Chinese Six Theater, AMC
Sweet.
Century City, AMC Burbank, and The Bridge, all at midnight screenings.
Very
fantastic.
Cool. Yeah.
And then tomorrow... Everywhere. The universe.
Everywhere. Yeah, right. Yeah. You talk about growing up in L.A., and I guess you wanted to be in show business for a long time?
Yeah, well, no, I didn't want to be in show business. I hated, there were kids in my school whose parents were in show business, and it just seemed kind of lame to me.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. It didn't seem something that was...
Real?
Interesting. Yeah, it just seemed like people were kind of phony and stuff like that. But I wanted to write for The Simpsons. That was, like, the one
That's what,
thing.
Okay. So what was it like for you earlier in the week or end of last week, whenever it was, to actually be on the red carpet in Hollywood as a star of a major motion picture that's opening up growing up here?
It was crazy. I mean, like, that night of the movie premiere for this movie, like, I was in Knocked Up and 40-Year-Old Virgin and Evan Almighty, a few other movies, but I was just kind of like, I would come in a couple scenes and just be funny and kind of leave, you know, and then this was the first time where I was, like, the lead of the movie and my face was everywhere, and it was just crazy, man. Like, I never just assumed that that was going to be something that went down. So
right.
I was there, and it just seemed like it was a dream or a joke.
They're going to pull it away from
exactly.
me in a moment.
Yeah.
All right, we need to take another quick break. Could you stick around for one more?
Yeah.
Jonah
totally.
Hill from Superbad is here. We'll take a break. Our producer, Lightning, says don't let this song run out. So I guess that's what I'm supposed to do.
Good advice, my friend.
You do need that. That's true. It's the Kevin Amin Show on KROQ. It's 8:41. Jonah Hill is here. The movie is called Superbad.
Yay.
It opens up tomorrow. Hey, I got a question for you, Jonah.
What are you
I meant to
exactly there, Bean?
Speaking of professional.
Yeah.
What do you got in your mouth there? What were you finishing up?
In my defense, I don't have any way of knowing how close we are to the song beginning.
That's true.
Being ending. So I'm kind of caught by surprise sometimes.
Right, but
just
what are you
a carrot.
Eating?
Oh, so just a carrot.
A carrot.
So
okay.
Eat after
yeah.
the show. How about that for an idea?
Well, I'm very hungry. I'm quite
but
peckish.
Before the Lightning show. Needs to send Bean a message, too. All right.
Here's
sorry.
My question for Jonah. And I'm,
sure.
you know, first in line for Superbad. I can't wait to see it.
Thanks,
don't get
man.
Me wrong. And I love the fact that it's an R-rated comedy because more should
be. Is there a butt coming?
Yeah, it sounds like.
No butt. Mike, I have a question for you, though.
Yeah.
What's the boob count? You're R-rated. Go for it. Tell me what I got to look forward to.
Well, our whole theory is, like, I always felt like I've been in situations where there were a studio, when you're making a studio comedy, they'll go, well, you either make it PG-13 or R-rated. And if you make it R-rated, you have to put this amount of boobs in there, this amount of whatever in there. And to me, that just always felt, like, misogynistic and weird to put in. Female,
yes.
Female nudity
yes.
for with no.
Listen
with,
to this
when
young
it's not,
man.
Well, when it's not, cohesive to the story. Like,
I don't care about the story.
Like, well, like, the movie, it's like a, it has like a story to it. So like, it'd be weird if you just like saw a woman's breast for
weird,
no reason.
But okay.
Like,
Joe, I mean, don't think it's bad.
Actually, more mature than either of you.
Well, okay, but if he. But if these are teenage boys,
see, there's like a thousand. You know,
yeah,
there's
a thousand.
No, there's. I think there's one. We're watching. You see us watching this website we want to join, and you see maybe like four boobs, yeah. Breasts.
Well, that's
but to me, it always just made me uncomfortable. Like when there was like breasts in a movie for no reason, because it just made me feel
think
bad
about
for
yourself.
Especially when language is so much funnier when you curse. It's so much funnier.
Wait a minute,
the F-bomb.
Right. And it's funny. It's R-rated strictly because of how Michael and I talk to
yeah,
each other.
Just
that's
F-bomb
what the joke
F-bomb
is.
F-bomb after
yeah.
F-bomb, which is great.
And all the stuff that the Seth Rogen and Bill Hader do as the cops yeah. is pretty gratuitous, also. But
and there are some hot chicks. There's plenty of hot chicks.
There's beautiful women in the movie,
but they're treated with a certain amount of
yeah. The female characters in the movie are by far and away the smartest and most mature characters in the movie. That's yeah. what the well, joke is how that
fiction
I've
well actually
yeah no kidding it's fiction
it's
damn
high
right
school. High school really is that way actually
I'm yeah. gonna leave with Jonah
that is yeah. true. All I'm saying, and this whatever. Will be my the final comment on this, is I'm a guy, it's not enough that there's porn out there, I need nudity in mainstream entertainment as well. I want to see nudity on the news, I want to see nudity on every show I watch. That's all I'm
you're
saying.
A lonely is, like, man on an island.
You're gonna see this movie and the conversations we have are the conversation like the conversation we're having like right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I understand.
It's gonna
gotcha.
Feel. It'll feel totally real to you. Like, there's a
different.
Conversation about how I can't watch porn without both male and female genitalia in right. porno yeah. because female genitalia by itself is just kind of alarming to me. Yeah. Like, did I phrase that? If I actually got away with phrasing
yes,
that correctly,
I think
then,
so. Very much so.
I am super proud of myself.
And your
so.
Character is sort of obsessed with sex and females and just in general, just getting laid. Pretty
right,
much.
Well,
that's the driving force behind you. Whereas Michael Cera's character is more of sort of the romantic.
Right. But yeah. really, I think like there's a few things behind it. Like the theory behind it is, my character's all, the most sad character in the movie because he's really just freaked out that his friend is leaving him.
Right, you have to split
so
up.
So he talks
your...
about sex because that's not talking about the fact that he's freaked out that his friend is leaving him. And also when you're 17, you talk about sex so much because it's like if someone told you there was like this pot of gold at the end of a rainbow and you knew where the rainbow ended, but you could never go there or
right.
take any of the gold from the pot.
Right.
You'd be fascinated by it. You'd be like, man, I
sure.
want to go there. That's all you talk
it's
about.
All the rainbow,
you talk about
pot,
what, you'd buy, what you would buy.
There's a pot of gold under the sweater is what they're saying, basically. The right. sweater's right yeah. there. You just need to get under the sweater somehow.
Exactly. It's like yeah. so there's a genie's lamp somewhere, and I wasn't allowed, and I knew where it was, but I wasn't allowed to, like, ever
rub
go
it.
Use it. Yeah.
Tell us about the clip that we have of you being in home ec class.
This clip is, there's about 2 weeks left in school, and my teacher's giving me grief, and I'm basically telling her home ec is a joke, and there's 2 weeks left in school, give me a break,
right.
you know, come on. And I curse.
Oops, I'm sorry, what?
Sorry. And I keep, in the movie, I keep cursing and having to take it back, but
yeah.
you won't hear this, you'll hear
all
the
right.
worst.
I joined this class because I thought I'd be cooking with a partner, but she's never here, and I don't get twice the grades for doing all the work.
I didn't invent odd numbers, Seth.
Look, we all know home ec is a joke. No offense. It's just like everyone takes this class to get an A. And I'm sorry. And I'm not putting down your profession, but it's just the way I feel. I don't want to sit here all by myself. No offense. And I just think that I don't ever need to cook tiramisu. When am I going to need to cook tiramisu? Am I going to be a chef? No.
Jules is part.
It's a lot stronger language.
Yeah.
And...
Jonah, how did you go? You told us you grew up wanted to write for The Simpsons. That was your thing, is to be a writer. How did you end up, I mean, besides your obvious movie star good looks, how did you end up in front of the camera as an actor?
Dustin Hoffman, the actor, the world famous actor.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar. I'm sorry, we're not familiar with him, Mr. Hoffman.
For, you know, from Hook.
Yeah.
From Hook. Okay.
And Mad City.
Right, Mad City.
Now, Dustin, I became friendly with his kids. I was writing these plays and stuff in New York and performing them at this bar. And I became friends with his kids. And they
wait a minute. What age were you when you were writing and performing plays in a bar?
18.
Okay.
They were cool. The bar was cool. They knew I was 18.
Okay.
But they let me hang around because they thought it was funny, I guess. And and all my friends and I would drink there because it's the only bar we could get into.
Right.
So we would hang out there and... Dustin's kids, Jake and Becky, and I became friends, and they're cool. I just, you know, I'm still friends with them, and they introduced me to their family, and every time their family would come to New York, we would all, like, hang out, and their dad ended up being Dustin Hoffman, and he kind of saw what I was doing, and I would make him like prank call CDs and stuff, and he thought I was really funny. So he's like, one day I'm going to put you in a movie. And I just took it as a compliment, and I never would have been like, hey, remember when you said that?
Hey, what about me being in a movie?
Especially because I didn't even really think I wanted to. I was taking acting classes and liked it, but I was only doing it to become a better writer, pretty much. And
right.
then when I would started casting for the plays, I didn't like anyone, so I would just do them myself, kind of.
Right.
Yeah. And because I'm a jerk, and I don't like anybody. And so I went back to L.A., and I was making boxes for the summer.
Making boxes.
Yeah, for my friends. My friend's brother worked for a music company, and they needed someone to, like, an intern to, like, make boxes and stuff.
Right.
And it sucked, but it was the only job you could...
smoke out. Go ahead.
Smoke out, yeah. And do at the same time.
Right.
Not anymore, but when I was 18 or whatever.
Sure, you know? Yeah.
And then one day my phone rang, and it was Dustin. He was like, come meet me at this house in Brentwood. And I was like, okay. So I left.
Yeah.
And then that's what happened.
The music came on. But I was like, to my boss, I was like, hey, I got to go. And he's like, well, you can't go. And I'm like, well, I got to meet Dustin Hoffman. I know this is going to sound crazy. I got it. But I got from the dude who's making boxes. I got to meet Dustin Hoffman at this house in Brentwood. And he's like, yeah, I got to meet Christopher Walken at Starbucks. And then I was like, all right, well, screw this. I quit. I was like, I'll find another terrible job like this, I guess.
And what did Dustin have for you in the house?
Well, I went to the house and no one answered the door, and I just walked in finally. And Dustin was naked. It was Dustin and David O. Russell and Lily Tomlin and, like, Jason Schwartzman and Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, wow. Huckabee.
Yeah, and they were reading the script for Huckabee's, and they were listening to, like a prank call CD I had made Dustin. And I was, like, terrified. And David O. Russell was like, hey, is this the guy? You know, and Dustin was like, yeah. And then so we talked for a while, David and I, and then I auditioned the next day, and then that was my first gig.
That's the strangest way to get into showbiz I've ever heard. You have to send us one of those CDs. Make us a copy of one of those CDs.
I will. They're not as funny now. I would like to think that they were really, like, groundbreaking and funny, but they really just weren't that funny.
And that Huckabee said
that was a good time, huh? Apparently, by all counts, that was a good time.
I actually had a great time. It was my first movie, so I was just, like, in awe and shock.
I hear Lily Tomlin loved it. I hear that.
She's hilarious in that movie. She's one of my favorite parts of that movie. She's great.
And you also had to stop and think back, I'm not making boxes right now.
Yeah. Oh, no. That's right. Well, I still think, if I ever stop thinking that on a movie, every time I get to a movie set, I'm like, whoa, this is crazy. And especially if they ever, you know, I'm writing two movies right now. When they make one of those, that'll be like the craziest day of my entire life.
Yeah. Sure.
Besides my wedding.
You got to put Hoffman in one of them, you know, just as a payback kind of thing.
We're going to do
throw
something.
Throw him a bone, Jonah. That's all we're saying.
Exactly. He really needs my help, you know. Well, Jonah, I give him acting lessons still, you know.
It's been way fun to meet you, dude. And as Ralph said when you came in, you know, we've been talking up the movie a lot. We're all going to go see it this weekend. I know it's going to be a big hit for you. And I hope you'll come back and see us again soon on the Kevin DeMeade Show.
Superbad comes out tomorrow.
Yes, it does.
This is one of the midnight shows tonight, too.
Yeah.
The AMC Orange, The Block, Chinese 6, Century City, Burbank, and The Bridge. You can check it out
from the guys who brought you Knocked Up in 40-Year-Old Virgin. Yeah. Anchorman and Talladega Nights.
We say this very seldom, but if you don't go to this movie, then you're not a listener of ours.
Yeah, don't listen anymore.
You must go to this movie. You'll love it.
Don't listen.
You're communist. Exactly. Yeah. Jonah, nice to meet you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's KRQFM passing in Los Angeles. If you didn't say that, I wasn't listening. Here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat for a Thursday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Speaking of which, the Fox Network announced today that if you watch the Super Bowl pregame show or halftime show, you will get AIDS.
I don't think they said that.
Yeah, they did.
That doesn't sound like Fox.
Yeah. They said, sadly, this year, if you watch the Super Bowl pregame show and halftime show, you will come down with AIDS.
Well, then I'm not watching.
I don't.
Why is that, Ralph?
Because Ryan Seacrest is hosting.
Well, then I wouldn't watch anyway.
At the Super Bowl?
Ryan Seacrest, it's been announced, is hosting the pregame show and halftime show for Fox, the Super Bowl in February. Look, I know Fox. Fox, I get it. Excuse me, Fox. Hello, Fox, over here. I'm talking, Fox. I understand. American Idol, big show. Yeah, I get it. No business. No business being with the Super Bowl. None whatsoever.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
You could hire a woman to host, and it would be less feminine than if Ryan Seacrest hosted the Super Bowl. That's what I'm trying to explain to you.
It doesn't seem like a good fit.
Really?
Yeah.
But Eva Longoria would butch up that broadcast if she were to host the pregame show. Yes. And she'd probably know more about football, too, quite frankly. It's a tragedy. It's a travesty and a tragedy.
That's Liza Minnelli gay.
Yes, it is. Indeed.
Most of the time, we don't really care about him, but don't bring him into football.
That's not right.
No, that's male. That's a male dominated sport. We'd like to keep.
He can have the Golden Globes. He can do that. That's fine.
That's fine. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he can. He can have all the red carpets, all the fashion coverage he wants to do.
Just keep him out of anything heterosexual.
All the hair tinting, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's all him. Him and Simon can bitch at each other's clothing selections. They can do all that. Just leave football alone. That's man business, Ryan. You got no business meddling in it. That's all we're saying. Speaking of men, my new favorite man, I mentioned him earlier, I got to talk about this guy some more, Jonathan Lee Riches.
Oh, he rules.
He is currently a resident of the Federal Correctional Institution Williamsburg in Salter, South Carolina, and today it is announced that he has filed a lawsuit against Michael Vick. This guy's kind of famous for his lawsuits. This is his most recent. He is filing a lawsuit against Michael Vick. He is suing Vic for $63 quintillion.
is that really a word?
It is, Kevin.
It is.
It was 63 followed by 18 zeros. It's a billion, basically, is what it is.
Well, I can't wait to hear what Michael Vick must have done to this guy to be worth that much money.
In his handwritten lawsuit?
Yeah.
You know it's a good lawsuit when someone's written it by hand on a legal tablet.
They mean it.
That's the hint.
Jonathan Lee Richards claims that Michael Vick stole his personal pit bulls, then sold them on eBay to use the proceeds to purchase missiles from Iran. He also adds in the complaint, Michael Vick has to stop physically hurting my feelings and dashing my hopes.
He physically hurt his feelings. How does he physically hurt his feelings?
I have no idea. Huh. Yeah, this is kind of this guy's hobby, apparently. He's become quite famous on the internet for filing strange lawsuits. My personal favorite is the one he filed against 57... initially I thought it was a 57 different defendants.
Right.
I misspoke earlier today. This last lawsuit was against a 57-page list of defendants.
Oh, okay. One lawsuit, 57 pages of defendants.
Yes.
Wow.
Not 57 defendants, 57 pages of defendants.
That has to be thousands.
It does. Here's some of the highlights of this particular lawsuit where he was suing for, and I quote, collective money they owed him. Okay? This is everybody. President Bush, Pope Benedict, actor Tony Danza, Fruit of the Loom, NASCAR. In Cincinnati, the Greek philosopher Plato, King's Dominion Amusement Park, John Deere Tractors, AccuWeather.com, Hitler's National Socialist Party, Rockefeller Records, the Gambino Crime Family, Three Mile Island, Geico Insurance, the Tsunami Victims,
what?
Jessica Alba, Outback Steakhouse, Chris Berman of ESPN, Vince McMahon, Meals on Wheels, Saddam Hussein, Elizabeth Smart, the Panama Canal, Kelly Clarkson, the Lincoln Memorial, Boris Becker, Christina Applegate, Venus Williams, Medieval Times Restaurant.
Oh, that one needs to go.
Wu-Tang Clan, all the Nordic gods, the Da Vinci Code, the Sears Tower, the Native American Fish Society, Green Bay's Lambeau Field, Ming Dynasty, the Ku Klux Klan, and the Waffle House. Some of the defendants
money.
In that particular lawsuit.
Now, I can see some of those if he's just crazy and he, you know, bet on the Eagles and lost one week and he wants to get his money back. That's fine. But how on earth did the Lincoln Memorial cost him money or the Liberty Bell?
The tsunami victims.
I wish we could ax him.
Wow.
We got to get him on the phone. He's in prison. He must be able to use the phone sometimes, right?
He's got to.
I'm in.
Yeah. Reverse the charges. We'll take him.
Absolutely.
And lastly, looks like Britney Spears has a new boyfriend. This morning at 4 a.m., spotted leaving a Beverly Hills hotel together, none other than Christopher Sarantakis.
No.
Probably better known to you as Chris Angel.
Chris Angel is a big douchebag, the douchiest of all.
What the hell?
Yeah, that's a mind freak right there.
Wow. Wow.
You're not just friends if you're hanging out with Britney Spears at 4 a.m. Nobody wants to talk to Britney that much to be doing it at 4 o'clock in the morning.
And apparently she'll hop on anybody she's near at that time of night.
Right.
Because there's a new source is saying Kevin Federline has slapped another subpoena on yet another assistant of Britney's, this time her former personal assistant Shannon Funk. Apparently,
I have a
question for you, Ralph. Since you've been covering Trapped in the Closet, now we're up to chapter 15 that we're going to hear from in a moment.
Yes, sir.
Would it have killed R. Kelly to, I don't know, at chapter 15 maybe to start thinking about coming up with another melody? I mean, did he write one melody for the entire saga?
Yes. Yeah. Well, just tell Beethoven to forget bum 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 bum. Just don't forget that too. Why don't you?
Pretty much the same thing.
It's a classic. Yes.
That's true.
Yeah, you don't want to mess with perfection. And in chapter 15, he just expands upon the perfection of Trapped in the Closet. Of course, you remember previous chapters, Sylvester and Tuan, who are brothers-in-law, are going to meet a mystery woman regarding something that's happened in Sylvester's past. It turns out that Sylvester meets with Kathy, the woman that he had an affair with behind his wife Gwendolyn's back.
That's the start of the whole thing.
When Rufus found him literally trapped in the closet.
Right. Remember,
that's the whole thing started. Turns out that Kathy paid Sylvester to have the affair with her in order to teach her husband, Rufus, a lesson when she caught him having phone sex over the phone with his gay lover.
Okay.
Right.
I'm with you so far.
Now, in the interim, Tuan's waiting in the car outside the restaurant. He gets a call from his homie telling him that Tina, the girl he's been looking for, who he believes set him up for the three-year time in the joint he did, is working as a waitress. At the same time, Sylvester realizes that the waitress who was waiting on him and Kathy in that restaurant is Tina.
Of course.
Tuan recognizes that, too. At the same moment, comes bursting in and threatens to kill both Tina and her friend Roxanne, who are there now the co-owners of this restaurant and working together. So when we left off, there was a showdown between Sylvester, Tuan, Tina, and Roxanne. Tina had a busted beer bottle in her hand threatening to cut them. Roxanne was carrying a skillet she was going to brain them with, and Tuan was threatening to kill both of their knuckle-headed asses.
That's true.
Well, at this point, Tuan finally faces off with Tina and Roxanne.
Well, 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 if it ain't Laverne and Shirley. Tina says, hey, Tuan. Tuan says, bitch, don't hate Tuan me.
That's right. Don't hate Tuan me.
Yes.
The first half of this chapter is just basically Tuan going off and threatening to kill them, and then Sylvester talking him down, saying, no, man, you have to be cool, and then him getting upset again and threatening to kill them, and then Sylvester talking him down again.
In excruciating detail, I'm sure.
Yeah. Here's the first time Sylvester tries to tell Tuan he's got to calm down, and then Tuan doesn't respond well, and all hell breaks loose.
That I just did 3 years for these hoes. Roxanne said, who you calling a hoe? He says, you bitch. She lost control and said, motherfucker, I kill your ass. Stop. What? Wait a minute. With a skillet. Damn right. Bitch, I will some motherfucking body. Man. Get her teeth. Stop. Wait a minute. Think about 3 years. 3 years. This time will be worse.
Yeah.
What the hell
whoa,
just
whoa,
happened?
Whoa, 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 whoa.
See, what
whoa,
R. Kelly does, has done there is create sort of a fugue. A fugue
sure.
Back and forth. The disparate forces screaming over each other to create a musical element there.
Right.
Which is very entertaining. Well, Sylvester talks Tuan down, explaining to him that he still has some legal problems, so he shouldn't make things worse by physically attacking these girls.
Now, I know you're mad, but before you go around here making threats, let's not forget the fact that you're out, but you're still on house arrest.
All right, R. Kelly, let me explain something to you. If your character, Tuan, is out and about driving around and he's at a restaurant,
yeah,
he's not really under house arrest so much.
Not so much house
they
arrest.
They frown on that during house arrest.
You got to stay in your house.
He'd be wearing an anklet, and right, he would be still in his house. So that's a little problem I have with that. Tuan won't hear any of it, though. He will not calm down. He is committed to causing bodily harm to these women who he blames for his time in prison.
That all because of these bitches, my ass got sent up on a 3-year bid. What you gonna do, kill these bitches? Yeah. And then what? Then what? Life, they lock your ass up and throw away the key.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow, that's
point.
Strong. That's strong right there.
And Sylvester also reminds him that, reminds Tuan that he's got a record himself. He's got his own issues. So he's got to be sure that he doesn't get messed up in anything illegal.
What's wrong with you? Are you crazy? You forgot I did 5 years in a pen myself. Now I'm telling you I'm not going back for you. These bitches and no motherfucking body else. So let me talk to them. I got this.
He's got this. And you know how he deals with things calmly and with great control?
With a gun?
Pulls a gun out.
Sure.
Yeah.
Does R. Kelly play all of the parts in the video? I know we got the video up at KRock.com for Chapter 15. Is he playing all these roles?
No, he sings all the parts, but he does not play them all in the video. He plays several roles, but not all of them.
Go to KRock.com and the Kevin and Bean page, the video page.
He plays the narrator. He plays Sylvester, but a different actor plays Tuan, and there's two female actresses playing Tina and Roxanne. Here, Sylvester goes into the most agonizing detail of every step he takes in between the idea to talk to the girls and before he actually talks to them. Listen to every painful detail R. Kelly gives us of what this character does in this bit.
Sylvester takes out his gun and shows it to the ladies, walks up to him and says, "Now, ladies," he takes the cigarette out of Roxanne's ear and says, "Ladies, ladies, ladies, ladies." He walks over to the counter and sits down. He puts the gun on the counter, goes into his pocket and pulls a cigarette lighter out.
All right.
And then he lights the cigarette.
All right, stop it.
What? Just
first
get
of
to
all,
the point where
he tell
talks.
Us what kind of seat it was at the counter, what it was covered with. Is it leather? Is it vinyl? These are the details we need to know.
Ladies, ladies, ladies.
The girls start to explain what happened, how Tuan got thrown into jail. Apparently, the three of them were in a car running drugs to Atlanta.
Okay.
That's what it was.
Tina started crying, saying it was supposed to be a simple operation. And Roxanne said if we delivered Muscle Man here, said it would be a vacation. Tuan says, "Man, I'll show you a vacation. Tuan. Send y'all ass straight to the motherfucking moon. Tuan, what did I tell you?"
What did you tell him?
I got this.
No, send anybody's ass to the mother effing moon. What did I say, Tuan? Well, it turns out Tuan was driving the car, and he was out of control, doing drugs, drinking, just basically...
No.
Acting without any sense of responsibility when it comes to running drugs.
He acting was
not
a fool.
He was not a good drug runner. He
right.
was acting the fool, Kevin. And the girls explained how out of control he was.
Tuan starts smoking trees and acting like a fool. And that's real. He got the radio loud, bumping Mary Jane, just swerving and shit. Did you tell him to stop? Yeah, I told him to stop, but he just kept yelling out, talking about, "I'm Rick James, bitch."
He just kept yelling at them, "I'm Rick James, bitch."
What? Why was he yelling that to them?
Because he was all high on the marijuana.
I'm Rick James.
Blasting the radio, swerving in the car. And what happens when you drive like that, Kevin? You know.
You
know.
Get pulled over.
That's right. The
Turns
cops
out.
Start chasing your ass.
Yes, they do.
And that's what happened to the three of them.
Then Roxanne starts cursing and screaming. Meanwhile, I'm in the backseat. And all I know is I look behind me. I say, "Oh, shit. Here comes the police." Roxanne said, "Next thing you know, Tuan started speeding, yelling out, 'They ain't gonna stop us.'" Tina says, "A few minutes later, here come these squad cars and a f***ing helicopter."
Yeah, high-speed chase.
Wow.
And naturally, you can never win those. The three of them get hauled in, and the
sure.
cops start grilling them independently.
Sure.
And that's when Roxanne finally cracks.
"Now we at the police station. They got us separated off up in these rooms. Yelling all in our ears, saying your man Tuan said these drugs belong to you. And I'm like, what the f***? They say, 'Sister, your light is looking kind of dim.' I've looked up at Tina and said, 'Girl, I'm not going down, not for him.'"
Nope. So Roxanne tells the cops the drugs belong to Tuan.
Oh, they turned on him.
She was the one that ratted him out. But as she confesses to Tuan there in front of Sylvester, she also tries to tell him that Tina wasn't involved. And we learn the shocking secret why.
"So there you have it, Tuan. I gave you up. It was me. Tina, she protected you. I say, protected me for what? Tina said, 'Cause at the time I was pregnant by you, T.'"
Oh, no, you didn't.
Oh. I'm sorry.
Tina was carrying Tuan's baby at the time.
Word.
That's why she was trying to protect her man.
R. Kelly is a
gave her
genius.
Up. He is a genius.
Wow.
Now what's going to happen? Well, now how does Tuan feel knowing that Tina was carrying his baby? Did she have the baby? Did she get rid of the baby?
Yeah.
We don't know. We just don't know.
We'll find out tomorrow.
And Tuan came into the restaurant with the intent of killing Tina before he knew any of this, right?
That's right.
Wow.
Till
what is he
going to
do now?
Talked him down and said, "Stop saying I'm Rick James, bitch."
Heavy, heavy stuff, Ralph.
Sure is. Brand new episode tomorrow.
Very well done.
"We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
So, what it do,
what it do, nephew.
That's what it's called. You call us at 1-800-520-1067. It's not only toll-free. It's not enough that you don't pay for the call. We also give you stuff for dialing us up. And today
it's
$50.
What do we get?
Well, it's a $50 gift card from Apple iTunes. There's always something new on iTunes, you guys. Keep listening for updates on all the new releases.
Yeah. You don't get that, Ralph. The callers get that.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't get anything for answering the calls?
Nope.
They
Sorry.
Just call and they get it.
Yeah.
But those of us who have to put the work into answering the calls, we
nothing.
Get nothing.
Not a thing.
Correct.
Helen in East Los Angeles. Good morning.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Hey, baby boo.
Hey, Helen.
Hi.
Hi, what's going on?
Well, I'm calling to see why guys like to have spontaneous sex.
What? Because you don't understand that?
Because we want to have sex all the time.
Trust me, when it comes to being a freak, I could be a freak.
All right.
But just doing it in a convalescent home parking lot, to
what
me,
you...
that was like...
Listen, Helen.
That's as good a place as any.
Listen.
It, was your vagina in the convalescent home parking lot? Then it's a good place to have sex.
It's just anywhere. That's all.
Yeah.
Women need a reason to have sex. Men just need a place.
But not a convalescent home.
Yes.
Why not?
Inside the room of a convalescent home would be fine.
I'd do it at a mortuary. I'd do it at a funeral home in a casket.
I'll do it in a car, but not in a parking lot.
Anywhere. Helen, anywhere. Thank you for the call. All right, bye.
Thank you.
Why is it so hard for her to understand?
Stupid.
She doesn't have to do it, but it's not that hard to understand.
First of all, yes, she does. And second of all, a convalescent home parking lot's no worse than any other parking lot.
That's true.
What about the butt?
Yes, there too.
It's fine too. All right, let's say good morning to Sean in Huntington Beach. Good morning, Sean. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
What it do, nephew?
Hey, Sean.
Hey, Lisa May.
What's going on?
You're amazing, by the way.
Thank you.
Anyway, yes, I want to talk about the band Flyleaf.
Flyleaf.
They're a new band on your station. Just heard them yesterday. Great band.
They're on, what are they at, Warped Tour or Ozfest? They're on one of them this summer.
Yeah, exactly. And I think their lead singer is a midget.
She's not a midget.
She's short.
She's 4'11".
Well, by the way, by the way, 4'11" is the cutoff for a midget.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
My sweet mother, Mrs. Rachel Catherwood, is 4'10" and she is clearly
She's a midget.
Clearly not a midget.
Dude, 4'11" is the limit. Your mom's a midget.
It's not. Your mother's a midget. No, she's a midget in Texas.
I think it's 4'10". I think it's 4'10" is the cutoff.
Ha!
I don't think it's 4'11".
That's
right,
4'11". I bet you she's not 4'10" either.
She's like 4'11".
She used to be.
Yeah, she used to be. Old broad shrink.
Assistant producer Alex says, according to the Little People of America, the cutoff is 4'10".
Thank you.
That's what I thought it was.
But
okay. She's dancing with the midgets.
That's what I'm saying.
She's right on the midget fence.
I want you to go home and measure your mother today.
Yes.
4'10" tops.
I'm telling you, she's 4'10". Above 4'10", and she doesn't have stumpy limbs.
Midget!
But she's incredibly hot, and she can wail like a madman.
All right.
Wow.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Thank you. I didn't realize he was still on the phone.
Okay. Let's talk to Chewy in the LBC. He's on line six. He has a serious, serious topic for us today.
All right, Chewy, what's going on?
Would it be, homies?
Would it be?
Hey, you know what? I don't watch Ryan Seacrest, nor do I watch his program, because I choose not to watch him.
Same here.
Right. But when they start slamming him in front of my football, I'm getting pissed.
That's what I'm saying. That's what we're saying. You do not mess with football.
No way. We have 5 months to do this. We have 5 months to get Fox and everybody we can get to start petitioning, email, whatever it takes. We got to get this queer off the TV. We can't watch him.
Look, first of all, he's allegedly queer.
Right.
And second of all, I am full agreeance with you, Chewy. I will be there with a sign walking in front of the Fox Plaza doing whatever I need to do to protest against this move.
Isn't it funny? Here's what I love about us, by the way, and I include Chewy in the us, is that Lionel Richie's doing a halftime show. We're pissed, but we just accept it. We just lay down.
Yeah.
Ryan Seacrest on the halftime show. Now we're pissed.
Yeah.
No.
Well, that's true. It's ridiculous.
You know, if we get dumbing up America, we're gaying up America.
At least Lionel Richie, say what you want about him, but the man has sold some records. There is a certain percentage of the population out there who probably likes
his
music.
At least he has a talent.
Yeah, but it's the same old thing where they have to appeal to non-football fans.
But it's the halftime show. Who cares what happens at the halftime show? During that period of time, I'm out throwing the ball around or getting on a beer run or something. I don't care what they do with the halftime show.
Or watching the lingerie football on the other channel.
Exactly.
Bingo.
Yeah.
But
the
when
NFL
they put him in the pregame show and he's going to be hosting it, he's going to be hosting the halftime.
You know
that's
what's going on
much.
During pregame shows? Your buddies are coming over, you're tapping the keg, you're cracking open the beer, you're doing whatever else you want to do to get your head right, and then you see Ryan Seacrest
right.
on TV.
He's been saying, look how shiny the helmets are. How do they wax those?
I
wonder if they do their nails.
That's
I can never play football.
Wow.
Yeah. Just give it to Regis. Just give all the jobs
Anyone.
To Regis. Nobody
Anyone.
Minds Regis. That's
Anybody
the that's the
else.
Simple
I'll
solution.
Take Joey right. Fatone.
Well, let's go yeah. to Amy in Hermosa Beach. Good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do? Hello, Amy.
Oh,
oh just lost her. But by the way, we had to move on to other calls, but we're not forgetting what Chewy says, and you will hear more about this. I mean,
don't
Chewy
let
is
this
right.
Go, because you guys are the kind of people who get fired in 5 minutes, and then it dissipates, and we won't talk about it again until February. But we got to hold on to this one.
All
Release
right.
the hounds of hell.
All right. The hounds have been, packed up for a long time. They haven't been out in a while.
They're starving, the hounds of hell. They need some fresh meat.
All right.
I want to thank all of our guests on the Kevin and Bean Show today, including a very funny man, Jonah Hill. He is one of the stars of Superbad that opens up
He's
tomorrow.
A fan.
No, not at all.
How dare you? Oh, my God.
Opens up everywhere tomorrow, but you guys said there's some midnight screenings tonight. If people just can't wait and they want to see it tonight, they can check that out in the paper or whatever
it's,
online.
It's Burbank. It's Century City. It's the MC Chinese 6.
Hey.
It's The Bridge. It's The Block in Orange. And Burbank. Did I mention Burbank?
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah.
Good times. And also thanks to Apollo astronaut Joe Rogan for joining us today. He's doing some stand-up at the Ice House this weekend with two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. That's the icehousecomedy.com or 626-577-1894. And don't forget, not this weekend, but next, Joe's going to be in Las Vegas at the Mandalay Bay Event Center for UFC 74. So thanks to Joe for coming in.
Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, Trapped in the Closet by R. Kelly, Chapter 16?
16.
Yay! God, how did you do it?
Plus, Psycho Mike was on the red carpet for Superbad. We will have those interviews. Plus, we're going to talk to Seth Rogen, one of the people who wrote Superbad, tomorrow. Frank Caliendo will be here. He's the guy that does the John Madden voice on our show.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's okay.
Wow, he is good.
That's not him. That's actually John Madden.
How do you know?
And Seth Gordon and Steve Wiebe, we have a great movie to tell you about the championship of Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
And it's a great movie that we've all seen and love. It's called King of Kong, and we'll tell you about that tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, more tickets for K-Rock LA Invasion tomorrow morning.
Kat Corbett is up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including Smashing Pumpkins, their new one called Bring the Light. Also, we got Rise Against, Chili Peppers, White Stripes, Green Day, and more right after this on K-Rock.